this episode of
The Don and Mike Show.
And today we shall witness an earth-shaking discovery.
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
Oh, who are you guys with? NBC, CBS?
Radio God.
You gave up jobs, security, show business?
The Don and Mike Show.
We've got a show to do.
Come on, guys. We're on the air.
Have a good show.
Produced by 106.7 WJFK, Washington Superstation.
It's going to be a great show.
All right, well, good luck.
And distributed by Westwood One Entertainment.
We should thank our lucky stars. They're still putting on a program of this caliber after so many years.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. The contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Stay tuned for your chance at $500 for naming the secret sound. Only on the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Number one, Arbitron. The Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Last time on the Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, is this Lisa?
Yes. Hi.
Oh, no, this is Lisa.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, we're both Lisa.
I'm having my period.
The Don and Mike Show.
All you good, moral, Christian people who are complaining that breasts and vaginas are obscene. Hey, don't complain to me. Complain to the manufacturer, okay? And although Jesus told us not to judge, I know you're going to judge anyway, so judge sanely. Judge with your eyes open. What do you consider obscene? Is this obscene to you?
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hi.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Mr. Son of a Beach.
Hi.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Or you don't know to fill a book.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
You know what I love best about coming to New York to do the show? All the people in this city
yes.
who love the Son of God.
Yes.
Philip Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Rob Spiewak.
You know, Phil was all excited about the party tonight.
Oh, the big WNEW party?
Right, but he had to figure out a different outfit at the last minute.
Why?
He couldn't fit all his junk in his G-string.
Oh, God.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Most Funniest I've Ever Heard in All the Ships at Sea. Hey, look out. They got the voodoo.
Look out.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, everybody, and thank you for listening. Yes, we come to you today from New York, from our Manhattan affiliate, 102.7 WNEW. Charles Broyhill, welcome to the show.
Hey,
hi, Charlie, how you doing?
I take it back. It's not him. He's not here yet.
Oh, no, there he is. In fact, it's a Charles Broyhill sighting.
Hey, Charlie.
Thank you for joining us for the show today.
How you doing, buddy?
New episode. Oh, I forgot. Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
That's right.
It's the first of May.
May.
Right. One time.
Uno de Mayo.
May. Don't talk about May.
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 Forget May.
One time, a long time ago, when I played records, mm-hmm. I got in trouble for getting on the air and saying, Mayday!
Yes.
Mayday!
Oh, dear,
because,
yes.
Because they said that if, like, some pilot had to be flying around listening to whatever dumb bubblegum station I was working at.
Yeah, and you said that, and somebody heard him say that, they'd, like, call out the Air Force.
Right, so even though it's the 1st of May, it's, like, illegal to say Mayday.
Exactly, and now you've violated that law 3 times.
And all over New York, airplanes are crashing now.
Because of what you just said.
Mayday! Anyway, listen, it's a Tuesday, and it's May 1st. And here we are.
What city are we in today?
We're in New York today. All now, right. Gentlemen in charge.
Very good.
Really great traveling. You know, we haven't been doing a lot of traveling in recent days.
You know, it's so nice to finally be on the road again.
You know, I'm really starting to tire of seeing you guys so much. No offense, Rob. And I see Rob more than anybody else.
Well, Rob follows you like a little hound.
This morning on the way to the airport.
Right.
I'm driving on the George Washington Parkway. Parkway, and I'm making the turn to get to National Airport, and I look next to me, and I see his giant head just waving like, hey, guess what? We've timed it together.
He didn't tell you that he waits at the exit?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
He waits like a speed trap in the bushes, and then when your car goes by, he punches it. There he is.
Yeah. You know, we see each other all the time during the show.
We're not even at the halfway mark as far as the traveling we're going to be.
I know, and now we see each other all the time, every day. I mean, like, you know, what was it this morning? Oh, it was 9:15 in the morning. I see Rob for the first time, and then shared an airplane with Rob all the way here. And then that's why, frankly, no offense to you guys, and I'm sure you feel the same way about me, that's why I didn't go to lunch today.
Well, you usually don't make the first day lunch. That's your time to just chill out and relax.
And fantastic. I got all the pay-per-views for free. No pornos in my hotel.
But you get all the other ones for free.
All the other ones. So I was just sitting there like a moron going back and forth between what women want and Miss Congeniality and all these movies that you normally couldn't drag me to see. And as a matter of fact, What Women Want is a movie I'd walk out of.
But you watch it because it's for free.
Yeah, because it's free. Yeah. And I feel like I got some great deal going. I mean, Castaway, without a doubt, I know we've said this, the most boring friggin' movie I've ever seen in my life.
Well, not the first 15 minutes. First 15 minutes is actually
The crash is good.
Yeah.
You know, and that seems to be Tom Hanks' calling card. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think of Saving Private, Shaving Ryan's Privates, and also Castaway, the first 15 minutes, half hour, outstanding.
Sure.
And then after that, down the toilet. But I sat there riveted to stupid Castaway today because...
Well said, because it's free.
Because it was free.
Well, you didn't miss anything at lunch. You know, lunch was fun for about the first 10 minutes, and then we all were kind of like... once the food arrived, Rob, we'd all had enough of each other. You know, Rob was, God love him, putting forth his best effort, doing an impression of the fat New York woman to my right. And it was just, I was trying to keep up, but then I lost my energy halfway through as Rob was saying, you know, talking like she was talking, which sounded something like this. I have a room on the second floor, and it's warm even when I turn the air conditioning on because it faces east. But I did, I did basically get Rob to spit his Pellegrino out through his nose at lunch today.
Why? What did you do?
Well, we were talking about Charles Loring Broyhill, who really is the mystery man to this day. He has a port in every storm, and we have observed over our travel schedule that Charles Loring Broyhill seems to have, like, friends that we don't know in every single city. Yes, quotation marks. Friends.
Yeah, friends.
In every city. And, we said, well, we were discussing dinner tonight. You know, where are we going to go after we, you know, go to the fabulous station party for 15 seconds?
You mean we're not staying all night at the WNEW Everybody Hates Each Other party?
I think it's a pretty rare situation if that happens. But,
I just got to tell you, Buzz was talking to one of the disc jockeys here, and he was telling me this before the show. One of the disc jockeys here told Buzz that there will be people at the party tonight who haven't spoken to each other for years.
My God.
So you're talking about, we have just walked into this WNEW situation. This has been a divided station.
Sure.
For years.
Wow. This is a hateful place.
Yeah, which is why we are on.
Yeah, there's hate here, and I think it'll be delightful.
And tonight, I believe that it's Jeremy Coleman. It's his idea to, rather than to actually try to do something to boost staff morale, do something constructive, what he's done is he's decided he's just going to get a room, get all the disc jockeys there, get all the salespeople there, feed them and booze them up, and then supposedly everything's going to work out.
Everything's just going to be magical.
Except it won't be fine. You know what's going to happen? Just what we discussed yesterday, that the disc jockeys from one show
will hang, right?
Yeah, Buzz, I don't think there will be fisticuffs.
No,
unless Mike has something to drink.
Wouldn't it be fun?
Generally.
I mean, there are already a few people here I'd like to kick their ass.
Oh, God.
It'd be fun, it'd just be fun. Just pick the right person when they're not looking. Oh, sorry there, I must have been the booze.
I am a pacifist, I'd like to say that. I prefer to fight my battles right here, behind a microphone.
Exactly.
Where I don't have to see anybody.
Right.
That's the great thing about being a disc jockey.
You do well that way.
That's the ground. I'm a great chicken fighter.
Yeah.
I'm great at fighting from behind a microphone.
You say that, but I will tell you that when we go out in the public... You are far more conversational.
Oh, you are
Johnny Fisty. You have moments now with every Las Vegas style show where I'm worried.
Oh,
I'm
gonna, you know, you're right.
Cover your effing back on the way back to the dressing room.
I did grab a guy in Reno.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't believe that.
Okay, listen to this. We're walking off the stage. We're doing a goddamn free show in Reno.
Right.
Okay? A Las Vegas-style show this weekend. And we're walking off stage at halftime, and everybody is very nice. They're saying, hey, nice to see you. We're signing autographs and stuff. And this one guy comes up to me, and he goes, this is a disgusting show. And I said, well, then why are you here? Because it's free. I said, well, there's the door. See you later. He said, I'm drinking a free beer, but this show sucks. And you guys are crude and disgusting.
So somebody let a non-fan in there.
Yeah, he said, this is an awful show. And I said again, I said, well, if this is the case, now at this time I could see, I don't know if his Buzz was around me or Rob was around me. They're trying to push me along, but this guy is standing there and he says, you going to make me leave? And for whatever reason, you know, maybe it's the
kickboxing.
Yeah. I actually reached out. I'm not proud of this. I reached out and grabbed the guy by the neck of his shirt.
I was miles in front of you. It was just between the first and second.
Yeah.
Yes. And I don't know. I didn't see any of this.
I grabbed the guy.
Because we've had this happen before.
I know.
And you're more violent than you let on.
Well.
You are more violent. With me, it's just very deep and dark. Comes out very late at night.
And, you know, I was ashamed of that, that I have... in recent weeks grabbed unruly patrons at our live shows, but I think I also grabbed the guy up in Hagerstown, the guy that was giving us crap when we were on stage. I grabbed him by the neck.
I think you may have done that on stage.
Yeah, I think so.
It's an interesting pattern. Well, now with your physical training to become a weapon.
Yeah, no, listen, tonight I will be at my best. I will be as I always am in these situations.
That's a good thing.
Sitting alone, solitary, nursing my drink, looking at my watch, waiting until it's time to leave.
Well, we were making our dinner arrangements, and Mr. Broyhill indicated he would not be joining us for supper this evening.
Huh. Oh, because he's got a friend?
Well, what's that?
Tomorrow.
Oh, lunch tomorrow.
Right.
Oh, it's lunch tomorrow he won't be attending.
Because he's got a friend?
You sure it's lunch tomorrow?
Yeah. Are we allowed to, listen, hey, Charlie, are we allowed to talk about this? About your friends? Or should we let it get okay with you? Okay.
I wouldn't have brought it up if I knew he had a problem, but I have the distinct advantage of having my back to him. Now I'm sure he's not a jester.
On Friday, when we were in Sacramento, we were in this hotel, and we were all going to meet for lunch, but as it turns out, because it's Sacramento, the restaurant was closed between 2 and 5 p.m.
Yeah, of course it was.
So we were just sitting in this lounge area, figuring out what to do, and... this girl was there.
In the hotel Hmong.
And no one knew who this girl was. And then now Broyhill was sitting there, and he did nothing to introduce her. Finally, she said to me, hi, who are you? And I said, well, hi, I'm Don. Who are you? And she said, I'm, whatever her name was, Bonnie.
Well, by her demeanor, I thought it might, when I heard the connection between Broyhill and this woman, I thought maybe it might have been a relative. Due to the information that was being volunteered by her, there were similar patterns in the way she communicated and the way Charlie communicated.
I thought she was one of his phone hoes.
No, see, I thought it was maybe like a long-lost cousin or something.
But if it was a relative, wouldn't she have said something like, hi, I'm Charlie's cousin, I'm Charlie's half-sister?
Not if it was Broyhill's relative.
Yeah, no,
nothing.
So it was a mystery woman.
I got to sit up and look at him now.
It was a mystery woman that the...
Oh, he's on the phone, not even paying attention.
A mystery woman in Sacramento, and then we get to Reno, and again... We get to the backstage area, and there's another woman who's just sitting there. And we go, hi, and she goes, hi, and again...
She was different, though. She had something about her that we all were mildly intrigued.
Oh,
am
yeah,
I right?
The lovely
right?
Linda. Yes. Yeah, was that her name, Buzz?
Yes,
Linda?
Yes, Linda. Buzz, Linda. Remember
that. She worked, I believe, in the wine preparation business, or she sold wine or something like that.
Yeah, we talked a little wine. I think she sold wine to restaurants.
And then, we spent about 10 minutes trying to pick apart her cover story, because her cover story...
I hate him. Let me tell you why I hate him.
Why?
We're over here to... Hey! We're over here talking about him, and we're not even getting a reaction from him. I mean, what's the fun of talking about him if we're not getting reactions
from
him?
Hey, that's classic Broyhill.
It is. Yeah. He really is.
That's the way he is.
You have something in your nose, Charlie.
Is it his finger? So we start peppering this girl with questions. We start saying, she was nice. I liked her a lot.
Yeah. So, are you one of Charlie's girls from the telephone? And she says, no. I say, well, how do you know Charlie? Went to high school with him.
Yeah, they were long buddies from way back when.
You know, how can it be that the guy, I swear to God, he is one unsociable son of a bitch.
He's got it. He does. Let's just admit. Is it lunch or dinner, Charlie? Is it lunch tomorrow?
Lunch.
Okay, Rob was right. I wasn't, I'm still tired. and he said, we said, who are you going out to lunch with? Of course, you know, we know what the answer, that we're not going to get an answer.
No.
Yeah, right. But we did narrow it down that it was a woman.
Of course it's a woman.
Did you admit to it being a woman?
Yes, he's nodding his head, he did.
Do you have any male friends that you socialize with?
I mean, that's, no.
No, no.
No, they're all females.
Then we actually were so pathetic, and we are pathetic, and we kind of, like, float around him. He's, you know, he's like the sun, and we're little moons floating around
when
we get on this subject, and he, we were trying to play the initial game, as far as first initial of the girl you're going, like, it matters, like, we'd have any clue. This woman could be any of the 50 states.
Yeah.
So we never really found out, and we're not sure. I'm thinking about that when everybody goes to lunch tomorrow, I'll pretend like I'm breaking off with all you guys.
You're going to follow him?
I'm going to follow him.
You'll never keep up with him.
I probably won't.
You'll never keep up with
but
him.
But I can be sneaky, too.
Well, he's fast and sneaky.
You hear that music, you know, ding, ding, ding. You know, like when Belushi's going up the steps in Animal House?
I know what you mean.
That's the music that you would hear.
But he's stealthy. I don't think you're stealthy.
No, I'm the least stealthy person in this group.
I think so.
You know, I'd walk three steps and knock over a trash can.
Oh, hey, Charlie, what are you doing here?
There was. Oh, I thought he came in. I thought he was going to actually bless us with his appearance.
No. So anyway, he's here with his girls. We have to go to this this WNEW function tonight, which is going to be
a laugh riot.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be great for station morale. And we'll have a full report for you on tomorrow's episode on exactly how long we stayed at the WNEW staff party tonight.
Very, very exciting because there's an energy here right now in this building that I just can't describe.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, guys.
Hi there. You're on the air.
This is Brandy from Reno.
Brandy, you're a fine girl.
Thank you.
What a good wife you would be.
Of course.
But my life, my love and my lady, it's the sea.
Ooh. I am the one that won the underwear fashion show without showing my underwear.
Didn't you call yesterday, Brandy?
I tried. I couldn't get through.
That must have been another Brandy that called yesterday.
I
spoke to a Brandy yesterday. Yeah.
Different winner. But
another Brandy, really. Different winner.
Oh, I tried so hard to get through, and I couldn't because you were dying for somebody to call from Reno, and I couldn't get through.
Yeah, all we had was people from Sacramento calling yesterday.
I know it.
I don't even remember the end of the underwear fashion show. So what you did? How could you win if you didn't at least get down to your underwear?
It must have been the tassels.
She got the best.
Well, yeah, your pasties. You actually have very large breasts, correct?
Some say so.
Yeah, all right, so listen. So in actuality, she was the closest to naked.
She took her top off and danced all over Buzz.
Right.
I think that was it.
Thank you, Brandy.
Climbed all over Buzz, mounted Buzz.
That's two Brandys in 2 days.
And no. You know how Buzz gets these women to stop humping his leg?
I'm wondering.
They pick him up and they SSD.
Thank you, Brandy.
That's how he does it.
My pleasure.
All right.
I'm wondering when you're coming back.
To Reno?
Mm-hmm.
Check your local paper.
Have you recovered from Saturday night yet, Brandy?
Oh, Sunday was a doozy.
Yes, it was.
I bet it was.
So, but yes, I recovered quite nicely.
All right. Well, thanks for coming out and thanks for calling.
Hey, have a good day.
Okay.
Goodbye.
You too.
Goodbye, Brandy.
Probably already downed half a bottle of vodka.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, is it me? I can't tell.
I love it when people say, is it me?
I know.
I love it.
I'm sorry, guys.
I wish all our callers would say that. And I wish they'd all turn their radios up when they call and then say, is it me?
Is it me?
Yes, it's you. Hi.
I just wanted to know if I was in the Silver Legacy, and I just wanted to know if you guys heard me.
Hear it, but Lisa said to me, are you registered under the name Mike Oxbig? And I said to her, no, I'm registered under Elvis Presley. She said, well, I heard it paid like 20 times Silver Legacy. All right, well, you nut. See you later.
Great show.
Right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
I guess what we're getting today are the residual calls
from Reno.
From Reno that couldn't get through on yesterday's episode.
And I thought, Rob, you had mentioned that you heard of Mike Oxbig, or somebody had said that. I guess it was Lisa, and I guess he did it 4 or 5 times.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, it's Surf.
Hi, Surf.
Hi.
Hi, sir.
Hi.
Hi. All right, well, goodbye, sir. Just wanted to say hi. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, you're on the air.
You guys don't sound the same on the radio.
Oh, come on, please.
Well, what's wrong with you?
Eat one right now. Eat one. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Hello?
Hello,
this is Chris from Sacramento.
Hi, Chris. This is Don with Mike. We're in New York right now.
Chris, how are you? How's it going today?
Hey, fine, Mike. I handed you my magazine after the end of the show.
I remember it.
Yeah, Short Bus?
Yeah, fantastic reading.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Thanks so much for that. It was yellow, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it was a great read.
Yeah, really? Did you use it what it was for in the commode there?
Yes, I did. Bathroom reading, fantastic and hysterically funny.
You know, I believe I speak for everyone when I now say we are starting to get burned out on calls from folks saying that they were at the shows last week.
Well, not Rob.
No, not Rob.
Okay. Rob is actually doing okay with it.
Well, then I'm going to give Rob's home number out.
Very good.
And all you people can call Rob at home. That's Klondike 5. 5539.
Thanks for the magazine, sir.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air.
I was just curious if you'd heard anything about Cunny Lee being on Drew Carey's show the next 4 weeks.
Cunny Lee, give her... I want to tell you something. My wife...
She will not die. She's like a weed that will not die. Right. Sorry, Buzz.
I love Frida. You know this, but last... What was it? Last Thursday night?
I love Frida.
Love her sexy voice.
Stop, man, because Dawn is the king.
Yeah. Frida says to me last Thursday night, because it was right before we're going out of town, she says, well, let's watch the shows I want to watch tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, what do you want to watch? She said, first, I want to watch Will and Grace. You know, that show just is not funny.
Right.
But I watch it with her anyway. I sit through it, and at 9:30, I say, great, now we'll watch what I want. We're going to turn on Nick or TV, and then we'll watch Dick Van Dyke.
Okay.
She says, no, we have to watch Just Shoot Me, because Kathy Lee is going to be playing a harlot on the show.
You know, she's just milking it for all. This is the last gasp. She's squeezing all these little cameos out.
And her role on Just Shoot Me was, she was a woman who wrote, like, Harlequin romance novels, and she wanted to have sex with David Spade.
Of course she did.
And every time she'd have sex with David Spade, she would buy him a new toy, like one of those razor scooters, and she bought him, like, a pinball machine. And she's so unbelievable in the role.
Does her character get shot?
No.
Oh,
no.
Dang. All right. Just try it.
I know the show is called Just Shoot Me.
Maybe we could get her. Well, that's why I asked.
That,
is there a chance we could get her a role on The Sopranos? Would that be fun?
Wouldn't it be great if she played a hua?
Yeah.
On The Sopranos?
One of the Bada Bing girls. One of the aging Bada Bing girls.
One of Ralphie's girlfriends.
But she'd have to be topless.
And Ralphie would have to get all coked up and take her out back and go, you're pregnant.
Oh, that's great. We'll have a nice house with a picket fence.
There you go. She'd go, really?
Yeah, and then maybe the kid can grow up to be maybe it'll be a girl. And she can grow up to be a sea sucker just like you. Bada bang, boom, bang.
He can beat her with a chain. He can do that like that gladiator thing. Oh, hold on. We got a message coming in from Mike's ass right now. Hold on. Oh. You know, that was after all the farts you've had before the show today.
I might have hit the wall.
It wasn't much of a message.
I know.
Hit Ruby Poo.
I want to tell you something. Mike had some messages today that are going to be permeating the East Coast all day long. He walks in the studio today and says, hi, we had lunch at Ruby Poo's.
Hold on. He's trying again.
No.
The wall.
Mike, that is embarrassment. Did you just S your pants?
No, but I'm darn close.
You think there might be a dollop in there?
I think there might be a Ruby Foo in there.
Well, I think it is ridiculous that Cunny Lee Gifford, I think it's ridiculous that she's going to be on the Drew Carey show. That's a sign of how desperate Drew Carey is.
On the Drew Carey show, does she get shot?
His show blows, too.
It does.
Yeah. All those shows blow. You know, all those writers, that's the big story today, that the writers are going to go on strike.
How about a lesbian scene with Mimi on the Drew Carey show for Kathy Lee?
I could give a rat's ass if all these TV shows go off the air, because frankly, I they're all junk.
You don't read them?
I don't watch them.
Right.
However, there was one exciting development in the world of TV today, and if given a choice, I'll watch Letterman over Leno any night of the week.
Right. Montel.
Montel. Leno.
Leno.
Letterman. Mike Douglas. He's the only white man ever made me moist.
Mike Douglas.
Oprah.
Amazing Grace.
But listen, Jay Leno's got one on Letterman now.
Mm-hmm. I thought that Letterman had the higher ground on that actor's strike.
No.
Writer's strike.
This is not about the writer's strike.
Okay.
Jay Leno announces that on The Tonight Show, starting immediately, for the guests, open bar before the show. Meaning that you are welcome to come in and get hammered before you go on The Tonight Show. Now,
that's like the great tradition of Carson.
Yes. Right. Except the way that it was explained to me is that they allow people to drink. Like if someone comes on and says, I'm a little uptight before we go on, they sneak the person a drink. Mm-hmm. Now when you go in the green room at The Tonight Show, it's a full bar.
Fantastic.
And you don't have to hide it. If you want to sit there and get drunk before you come out to sit on the couch with Jay Leno, it's perfectly acceptable.
Oh, I can't wait. Well, I think that adds to the equation.
Yeah, right. So now I'm thinking, you know, I might watch Jay Leno just to see if people are drunk.
Now, who would be your A number one guest that would get totally faced?
Okay, it would have to be someone serious, someone that you wouldn't expect to get drunk.
Drew Barrymore, of course, would be somebody who would be obvious.
Yeah, she's probably always drunk. Well, you know, all right, a name out of the newspaper. I'm sure he wouldn't, but wouldn't it be great if Jerry Seinfeld got drunk?
That'd be great.
Oh, all these people, I hate doing that. And, you know, Jerry Seinfeld, he can just eat me, too. Listen to this. One day after turning 47, comedian Jerry Seinfeld announced Monday he is giving his fans a birthday present.
Fans!
Okay, you know what the birthday present is for us fans?
What?
Jerry is going to grace us by coming out and doing some live stand-up shows. Tickets, $45 to $75 each. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry. We appreciate it because we're children and we don't know what's good for us.
That's a great Jerry Seinfeld tape we have.
Well, tonight you've got Matthew Broderick on Late Show with David Letterman.
Vehicular manslaughter.
Now, I bet The Rock, he's going to be on with Leno. He gets wasted before he goes out there.
Yeah.
Hey, Jay, how are you?
Hey, you know what I watched a couple of nights ago? That I really, really liked. Do you remember when we had that wrestler Mankind on the show?
Right.
Remember, he was a really, really good guy. Most of the wrestlers that we get that actually show up are good.
Yeah.
They had, there's a movie, I think it's called Beyond the Mat, where they followed around this guy. It was his name, Mick Foley, is that his real name? Or Nick Foley, something like that. Anyway, they followed him around for a whole week before he did a big steel cage match with The Rock. And they went to his house and they showed what a loving dad he is and how really normal he is. And then they showed him before the WWF thing, where they had his kids backstage and his wife backstage, and he was talking to The Rock and he was explaining to his kids, he said, Daddy is friends with this guy. When we're going to go out tonight, we're going to do a show. And The Rock was looking down and going, hey, hi, what's your name? Did you go to Disney World? And the kids are looking at him, and it's obvious this guy, Mankind, he's saying to his kids.
Like a documentary was what you're saying.
He's saying to his kids over and over, it's just a show. Daddy's friends with this guy.
Right.
And then they go out, and The Rock throws him off the top of a cage.
Right.
And I mean, this part's not fake, and takes one of those chairs.
Yeah, the folding chairs which they practice with the metal folding. I mean, I don't know how they can take hits. They train to do it.
Well, now, listen, here's the thing. They show The Rock out there, and he is absolutely beating the crap out of the head of Mankind, and you see real blood coming out, and after the show, and while this is going on, they got a camera on Mankind's wife and his kids in the crowd, and like the kids are crying.
Oh, that's
going,
not cool.
Oh, I don't want to die.
How old were the kids?
Like 5 and 4.
Oh, daddy.
And the mom is covering their eyes, and the mom finally
says, 5 and a 4-year-old can't make that distinction.
So
there.
They finally say, let's get out of here. So they go backstage, and I'm watching this, and I'm still thinking, okay, this is traumatic for the kids, but wrestling is fake. They're going to see their dad after the show, and they're going to know that everything's okay. Well, they go back. backstage, because it's a documentary, not a made-up movie. They go backstage, Mankind takes his mask off, and I mean, he has a cut in his forehead that is 6 inches long and 4 inches wide. They have a plastic surgeon on site, and he has got blood all over his face, all over his shirt. They've got, and what they're doing is they're sewing him up right there, right after the show, and it's at that point that he's looking at his kids, and he's going, Daddy got a boo-boo. Daddy got a boo-boo. Daddy's okay.
Oh, my God.
God. Daddy's okay. Daddy's got a boo-boo.
Keep the kids out of that.
Well,
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Listen, you know what they did then? The guy who's making the documentary, he says, I was troubled by this scene. So 3 weeks later, I went back to Mick Foley's house and showed him the tape of his children watching his performance against The Rock.
I like that. So how did he react?
So he's sitting there and he's watching this. And, you know, we knew when he was on the show, he's a good guy.
Yeah, right. Funny. Right.
He was a good guy. He was funny. He was
very, very, very intelligent guy,
smart,
actually.
Yeah. And as I was watching this documentary, it's obvious he's devoted to his family. He was watching this and he was disturbed by it.
Good.
Okay.
Right.
He was watching this and they turned it off and he said, I've never thought this before. I think I'm a bad dad. I think that I think I'm a bad dad for exposing my kids to this. And I think from now on, if I'm known as the guy who pulls a sock out of my pants, that's what I'm going to be known as. But my kids can't see me getting beat up like this.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Time.
I'm glad. That's good that they did some good because, I mean, you could walk up to a kid that age and lecture them for 20 minutes saying it's not real. But at a certain age, they're not going to.
No, and this
they're going to believe what they see anyway. That's the way they process.
This was real. And this guy, Mankind, I had no idea that of all of the wrestlers, and I know that they all get thrown around and it's scripted and all this other stuff, he really does. Junk though, like when he was on top of this 20-foot steel cage.
He was. Did you see? He had quite a few scars on him when he came in to do our show.
Yeah, and this other wrestler picks him up and throws him off the cage. Now this is not something you can fake. He's going 20 feet in the air and he crashes on a folding table.
Do you think that there's a chance that they maybe did all this for the documentary to make it fake?
No, I don't think so.
You know, they can do amazing things.
Like it was real.
What you're saying, Don, is you're looking at me after all these years, and you're telling me wrestling is real.
I'm telling you that this guy, Mankind, he had his head cut clean open.
Well, they've had blood in wrestling for years.
They had a plastic surgeon back there. This was a real documentary. This wasn't like a WWF production. It's a movie called Beyond the Mat.
Well, you may not know that they actually could have staged the whole documentary.
Listen.
Documentary films have been staged for years.
Like the moon landing?
We met this guy. Okay, this guy actually
No, not
said.
Like the moon landing,
oh, okay.
but I studied documentary film and what they do.
Even liberal arts.
Let me tell you this right now. Even the most legitimate documentaries, even your 60 Minutes, your Dateline NBC.
No, I believe this.
They set stuff up.
I believe this.
All the way back to the days of Leni Riefenstahl.
I believe this.
And Triumph of the Will.
Oh, is that the Hitler movie?
Yeah.
It's a Hitler movie.
Listen, don't bring Hitler into this, Rob. I'm talking about Mankind.
All right, I didn't see it, so it's difficult to discuss this.
I am sure that some WWF Yahoo will call us now, but you won't believe him because he'll be a WWF Yahoo.
What I'm saying is I didn't see it, so it's difficult for me to comment on it, but I am saying, could you at least hold out the tiniest possibility that maybe the doctor was sewing him up. I mean, they can do amazing things with makeup.
I'm telling you, this was real.
Did you actually see the needle going into the flesh?
Yes. Yes. You saw the needle going in as they stitched his head up.
And he was covered with blood.
His face was totally covered with blood. His shirt, you know, first off, he wears the queerest outfit to go out there. He has on stretch pants,
right?
And then a dress shirt with a black tie. And he wears that half mask thing, that half leather and metal mask.
Kind of a variation on Leatherface from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Right. No, I think that was real. And it just made me appreciate. Okay, mock me if you will.
I'm not mocking
made
you.
Made me appreciate this dude, Mankind, who we had on the show.
I'm not mocking you. I can't see you. I think that maybe I just think that wrestling is predicated on that fake violence. That's why they got together.
This was real. Has anybody seen the movie Beyond the Mat? The documentary movie Beyond the Mat?
I just watched all the wrestling I've seen. I have actually heard them talk about how they used to actually take razors and cut their forehead to draw blood. And they'd have like, and what I'm saying, let me tell you this.
Oh, Jesus.
The cut that he got might have been self-inflicted.
Okay,
you know what Charlie? That used to be a
Charlie,
trick.
Why don't you see if you can get? Is there a chance you'd call WWF to see if you can get? That was his name, Mick Foley or Nick Foley?
Mick,
whatever.
At least.
Mick. Yeah, Mick. Get Mankind on the phone.
Yeah, that'll cinch it for me.
Oh.
He's not going to believe that.
He was a good guess.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not. Why would if he?
I'm telling. Why?
What? That's like saying. Let's dig Richard Nixon.
I'm a cynical person.
Right.
Why can't you believe me? Go take my word. If I tell you, I watched this and I believe it was a real documentary.
It's not a question of your sincerity at all. Or your credibility. It's a question of wrestling and my perceptions of wrestling. And
well,
the fact
I'll tell
that
you, this part of it was real.
What better way to promote wrestling and make it look as, dangerous all than right. to have an alleged behind-the-scenes look at wrestling?
Oh, please.
I'm just being.
And if you can't get Mick Foley, get his brother Dave.
Dave Foley.
His brother Dave Foley, if he's not starring in Sex and the City as the redhead.
Who's the guy that lives down by the river?
Chris Farley.
Yeah.
Matt Foley.
Matt Foley.
Down by the river.
By the river.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Well, here he is. Here's the guy who saw the movie.
Hello.
Oh, you dumbass.
You're killing me here.
You know, and what I'm doing,
I am out on a limb.
I probably wouldn't be doing this if I saw it myself, but I'm just going on.
Then why can't you go on? I'm telling you, buddy, pal.
I know.
15 years together. It's real.
Well,
at least this part was real. This match with The Rock.
Well, I mean, it wasn't real. When The Rock did that, I don't doubt that maybe there could have been an injury, but I don't think they're really trying to do what they do. They're not trying to hurt each other.
I believe that the way that they explained it afterwards was that Rock went farther with this than he should have.
Okay.
And they showed Mankind sitting down with that dope Vince McMahon afterwards. and Vince McMahon was saying, that was a good show. And Mankind was saying, I know there will be people who think we went too far.
Right.
It was too violent. It was overly violent. But that's what they want. That's the show. That's why I'm not mad at him for hitting me 18 extra times in the head with a chair.
Okay. Hearing you relay it to me, and I'm not just trying to be arguing for the sake of argument.
Sure,
but I'm
you're
thinking,
not.
I'm the...
Sure you're not.
I am thinking, it sounds, when I'm hearing all this, that would be a wonderful promotional vehicle for the WWF.
If they said,
hey, he really lost his head this time.
It was a documentary where they also, okay, let me balance it out. They also found some dumbass wrestler, Cactus Jack, okay? They found out, what is Cactus Jack doing now?
Okay.
And they found out that he was a deadbeat dad, and they arranged a meet with his daughter, who we hadn't seen for like 10 years.
Was there any narration on that?
Yes.
And was there any editorial point of view?
Yes, the guy who made this documentary was a wrestling fan.
Okay.
And said he wanted to find out what it was really like. And to show you that it's not all biased, like, gee, wrestling is great, at the very end, they have a shot of this guy, Cactus Jack, in a pool hall, and they go, shortly after we got done with the documentary, Cactus Jack was arrested for not paying his child support. He is currently in prison.
Wow.
So it wasn't all flowers and nice.
Okay.
And why is it so hard to believe that Mankind actually got his head cut open?
Because wrestling is fake.
Wrestling might be fake, but I do believe this. The Mankind.
I don't doubt that might have happened, but I think if it happened, it happened because of an accident. I mean, I don't think that they.
Mike, The Rock went too far. The Rock got carried away. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, I have some information about Cactus Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Mick Foley.
Well, then, all right, then it wasn't Cactus Jack. Then it was
Snake.
Who was it?
Jake the Snake.
Yeah, that's who it was. It was Jake the Snake.
Mick Foley is Cactus Jack.
All right, well, I'm getting the names mixed up.
Well, wait, I thought Mick Foley was Mankind.
He was Cactus Jack early on, then he was Mankind, but he's always been Mick Foley.
Maybe this guy, Jake the Snake, peeved the WWF, and they used this propaganda film to get him locked up.
Stop it.
Hey, we're swimming in the lake of the biochemists now, aren't we?
Stop it, please.
Guys, we really are.
Hey, have you seen this documentary, Beyond the Mat?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Tell Mike. Tell Mike. I called as my first witness, Mr. Dumbass.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
You know, I'm not going to win this because all of my witnesses
But I believe you.
All my witnesses are going to be morons.
You're absolutely right. It was not planned. It might have went too far, but it was something that happened in...
Oh, please. How am I going to win this case? I got dullards on the jury.
I don't doubt that if I see this thing, I would agree with you 100%. I wouldn't be having this discussion. This is all on very little information that I've seen out of this documentary.
Then take my word. I am emphatic with you, Blade. Please, just accept my word that part of it was true, that The Rock went too far.
I will accept your word that the injury... was real. But I will say that it was probably an accident, that they don't really try to hurt one another. It's the last thing The Rock probably wanted to have happen. And they probably saw this opportunity. They probably thought it was great that the documentary film crew was there.
Mankind said afterwards, he said it was a great show.
Right. Yeah,
but meanwhile, while he's saying this, I should just show you in context, while he's saying this, they show his kids standing right next to him, and they're obviously not acting. They're crying.
And that's
while he's standing there and he's got the blood coming out of his head, and he's going, "Daddy's okay. Daddy's just got a boo boo." And the kids are going, "Dad." And I mean, really tough to see because they're little kids,
right?
You know, while he's saying to the kids, "Daddy just got a boo boo,"
right?
He's saying to the guy from the WWF, "Yeah, he went too far, but that's a great show. That's what they come to see. I'm going to give them the show they want. He hit me extra. That's okay."
All right, okay.
Do you remember what channel carried this, where you saw this documentary?
Yes, Channel 78.
Okay.
It was
we knew what network or what satellite
it
channel.
It was Stars or something.
Oh,
like.
Okay. You know, I've seen a lot of wrestling, and I very rarely, you don't see blood very often.
All right, here's a guy who says he saw the movie. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, not a mic.
Yes. Come on. Come on, help me out here, please. Did you see the stupid movie?
I saw the movie.
And?
Well, actually, it was on about 6 months to 8 months ago. I think it was on Dateline or something. They did an expose on this guy. And what they were showing is how his body has been so beaten up, where he has arthritis and he has certain neurological...
Please, don't give me background. Hello, don't give me background.
What they wanted to take it to is the level of showing that, yeah, some of the stuff was staged. However, when he's thrown from a 20-foot...
please. You know, the guys come on over. They saw Dateline NBC. And
right, right.
Hi, Charlie. Line 6, you got Mankind?
Oh,
Eric Bickle. All right.
Ah.
Noted WWF expert Eric Bickle is on the phone now. Eric.
Hey, guys. Here we go.
Hi, Eric.
John, seriously, maybe just another moron to back you up, but that documentary was silly. And those scenes were no joke. Mankind was a glutton for punishment, and Rock kicked his ass.
Thank you. Now, Mike, you know Eric Bickle is
I see Eric every day. Uh-huh. I talk to Eric every day. I'm just wondering if we can get another call for credibility.
Seriously, Mike, I'm not even a wrestling fan.
I know, but I've heard some of your views on other subjects.
But, right. Eric, wasn't it riveting? Wasn't the behind of the beyond the mat, wasn't it riveting?
Yeah, it was silly. It was the best documentary I've seen since, like, Hoop Dreams.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Eric Carlson Bickle's checking in.
Yeah, all right.
Thank you,
guys.
Bye, Eric.
You can hear him on our station in Washington tonight, and he'll go off on an expose of what major disease everybody's going to die from.
All right, he's naughty.
No, I'd love to see it.
He certainly is more credible than any douchebag that's going to call us up for you're not going to believe
and
today.
And it's sure tough to fake kids crying.
No, and that was real.
I didn't see it. It's just, you know, I'm completely absorbed with that wrestling is total BS.
And I'm with you, but I'm saying that in this case, after seeing this, and especially after we met the guy Mankind,
right.
I watched this and I saw the side of him explaining to his kids what he does, and then, frankly, really, this guy, The Rock, just mercilessly, just banging him over the head with a chair.
Right. Trying to kill him.
Oh, F you. not trying to kill him.
It's an accident.
He went too far.
If they showed them talking to one another before
And they did. Fixing it. Really.
They did.
Well, they determined who was going to win? Did they...
No, they had The Rock. They showed The Rock before the match, like practicing his little speech.
Right.
He was talking with one of the WWF coaches, and he was saying, all right, so I'm going to go out and I'm going to say, The Rock is the greatest fighter of all time, and tonight, Mick Foley will say, I quit. He will say the words, because I'm the baddest ass ever.
And, well, then, all right. I'm going to give you that, because if they showed all that stuff.
Yes.
And you're basically saying that, you know, our only dispute here is whether the injury was real.
And I think the injury was real.
I believe you. I believe that, you know, I don't believe that he was trying to hurt him. I believe he was, that the choreography got messed up and maybe he did get a ding on his forehead.
No, I think, well, now this show.
Are you saying he was trying, he wasn't trying to hurt him?
He got caught up in the moment.
Okay, that's possible.
The Rock got caught up in, and I hate calling him The Rock.
As long as you stop short of
Robbie,
saying.
Robbie, what is his real name?
Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne Johnson got caught up in the moment.
Right.
And with all the people yelling and screaming.
Sure.
He really just started wailing on Mick Foley's head.
And roller derby is real, too.
Okay.
When you see roller... No, I mean, he got caught up in the moment.
Would you like me to call your kids now and tell your kids, hey, guess what? I was just talking to your dad, and he wants me to tell you, there's no Santa Claus. Okay. With that, since we're being in a realistic world,
since we're actually opening up with all the no Easter Bunny, no wrestling is real.
Hi, listen, girls, it's Uncle Don. Dad wanted me to tell you something.
There is no Santa Claus.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Is this running on like any of the HBOs or anything like that?
It's on Stars. Don't you get Stars?
Yeah, I'd like to see it because I really would like to see that.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
How are you?
We're doing great, thanks.
Good. I saw you in Reno. But the reason why I'm calling is I saw that show that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And there's no way that anyone could fake the terror in those children's eyes. It was so sad.
All right, I'm done arguing. I can't go anymore.
Thank you.
I'm done.
Thank you. You've
done it, ma'am. I love Eric Bickle. He's a good friend of mine. But I'll tell you, ma'am, you're the one that actually really convinced me.
I simply started this discussion to say, hey, I saw something about a guy we had on the show, and
you can't fake. You know, unless he brought in some child actors, you can't fake kids.
They weren't child
actors. I don't think they were.
It was his real wife.
Okay.
And they had film of them at his house, like laying in a hammock with the kids.
And I did like the guy when the guy came in on the show.
He was an outstanding guest.
And I hope he doesn't bring his kids out anymore to see him fight.
Well, I think really, and that when they showed him the tape,
right,
he was watching this, and he was like, God, I am really a bad dad.
You know, that blood in wrestling, WWF, the modern day, does not happen as much as it used to in the old wrestling.
And that I don't know about. All I know is that he really had his head cut clean open.
It was. You could see brains, actually, couldn't you?
The gash... Let me say, the gash...
It's a pulsating brain.
The gash was the size of a woman's gash.
Really?
That's how big the gash was.
Right.
As a matter of fact, it looked like some of the gashes that I had seen. Oh, goodbye, honey.
Some of the gashes we've seen recently.
Yes. Look like some of the gashes that we saw on stage in Sacramento, Rob.
Wow. So, did you come away from this documentary... feeling different about wrestling? Because I remember you and I actually went to a wrestling match one time.
That was a long time ago, like when Bart was a little kid.
And yeah, we went, we were just kind of rolling our eyes and just couldn't wait to get out of there.
Yeah, you know, no, I'm still not a big...
It's become so huge.
I'm not a big fan, but I do follow that guy, and I follow the other guys that we've had on the show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I thought it was real interesting about that guy, Mick Foley.
And The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, Pete's brother.
Peach. Hi.
Hi, I'm going to throw you off the top of the cage.
Hi, and you know, The Rock is in that new, the movie.
Right? Yes, yeah, he's starting his acting career.
At the very end. And it doesn't say starring Dwayne Johnson, it says starring The Rock.
The Rock, I hope it can be nearly as successful as Brian Bosworth's movie career.
Can you smell what Dwayne Johnson is cooking?
And what is all that about The Rock is cooking? What does he cook?
Well, I believe that's here's what Mike's got.
Yeah, here's what he's cooking.
Oh, groovy.
Hey, not bad. Not bad.
I'm not well. I'm unwell.
Buzz, isn't that a drug reference?
It certainly sounds like one. Cooking rock, yeah.
Well, like cooking rock cocaine.
Cocaine, yeah, yes. Crack, yeah.
Yes, something maybe... who's that dude from the West Wing?
What's Aaron Sorkin?
Do you know when they went through that guy's bag? Not only did they find shrooms, they found pot,
Uh-oh. And rock cocaine.
Oh, so he was really... So the mushrooms were just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Uh-huh. So that's where you go, can you smell what the rock is cooking? The guy from the West Wing had rock cocaine.
I'll tell you right now, everyone in this room can smell what the rock is cooking right now.
Oh, ooh. That's not cocaine I'm smelling right now, Mike.
Sorry.
As a matter of fact, if cocaine smelled like that, I don't think this country would have a cocaine problem.
Amen.
People would not be able to put that up their noses.
Well, it's official. I believe you that it was a legitimate cut.
Thank you.
And
thank you. 1 hour later, thank you.
As long as you're not saying wrestling is real.
No, I'm not. I'm saying, and they showed before this thing that it was scripted.
Right.
That's why Mankind was there with Dwayne Johnson saying to his kids, I'm friends with this guy. God damn, that was well.
I'm woozy.
That is a bad fart. I'm going to hold my nose down.
Let's get caller one.
100, Jesus.
I'm sorry.
877-365-3636. Be the 100th caller now. You get a shot at the secret sound.
You didn't bring your spray?
Spray's back in the room. I'll never make that mistake.
We'll be right back to call 100.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
I want you to know that I appreciate you looking out for Bobby.
Bobby, what are you kidding me? I've been a huge help with my uncle.
That one don't need any help. This guy's in jail on the fucking medical. This makes me laugh. Your uncle. That's right, we're talking about you, you cagey fuck.
Huh? God freaking damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, listen. The Sopranos, they better get their ass in gear.
I sure hope next week's episode's a little better.
They better give us a better one. I'm starting to lose interest in that show. Just like I totally lost interest in Survivor. We were discussing today the fact that the final Survivor is on Thursday night. And
right.
Remember last year, like, we talked about Survivor all the time. We were totally caught up in it.
No, well, how many challenges can you watch one guy win?
Colby,
the best looking guy, the skinny guy. Well, they're all skinny now.
Colby, yeah.
I could use a week on that show.
Hey, tomorrow. Because we're here in New York and there's the CBS store. We work for CBS.
Right.
Tomorrow we're sending Lisa over to the CBS store. Now, we were thinking she's going to go with a tape recorder. We're going to play a game, see if we can guess what people are going to answer to questions.
Very good.
We were thinking that she should just go over and first identify herself as Jenna from the first Survivor. Just, you know, to the dumb tourist.
Sure.
But then we thought, no, that's a bit deceitful. She's just going to say, hi, I'm Lisa from the original Survivor. And we have questions. Will you take the CBS survey? Tape for broad. Do the contest.
Caller, name this song.
You loaded them backwards, Robbie. You loaded them. No, it's 1, 2, 3.
I'm going to do 3, then 1, 2, 3.
He's going to do 3, then 1, 2, 3.
Is this like when he's playing blackjack?
Yes, the mind of Spiewak.
Hi.
Okay, call 100, and then I'll tell you about the CBS quiz.
Very good.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, caller 100.
Right, that's you. Hi, what's your name?
Don.
Don, where are you from?
From Vacksville, California.
Don, you won the Sopranos prize pack. Hey, they better get it together.
Yeah.
Right. Really, that episode last Sunday just blew.
I'm so glad that you feel that way because it really does need a shot in the arm. And what's with skipping the gratuitous violence?
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, what happened to the rape? You know, to quote Regis Philbin, famous rape scene.
The famous rape scene has been abandoned. You know, you've got the obligatory scenes in the office with Dr. Melfi.
Yeah, but I mean, she got raped and nothing happened.
It's as if this last episode was inserted to stretch the season because this last episode didn't contribute anything.
No. Yeah, because they've had so much time that they need to stretch.
Yep, right.
Don't miss The Sopranos Sunday night at 9, only on HBO. Soundtrack in stores now. Are you ready to go for $500?
Yes, sir, I am.
Beautiful. Secret sound number 4. We'll play it for you. It's a common everyday sound. Identify it. Win $500. Please don't answer until Mike sings like
Carly Simon.
Gotcha.
Godspeed. Caller, name this sound.
That's it. And it's not the sound of Mankind's head being cut open.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. And if you do win the money, it's courtesy of Main Street Title. And that Mike's theme this week is females.
Yes, females.
You walked in to the party like you were walking onto a yacht.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
sir.
That's
great. I'm tired of adopting different styles of singing. I'm going to sing all the lyrics in my own special way.
For $500. $100, what is that sound?
Oh,
from? I have no idea, but let's say it's a bottle cap being closed.
All right, well, at least you had a guess.
Thank you.
No, of course not, but thank you anyway, and don't forget that every guess...
is a clue for you!
...is a clue for ye. All right, so Rob and I were thinking about questions that Lisa could ask people coming out of the CBS store. Because, you know, generally when they folks come to New York, they go to the NBC store, which is marvelous.
Great. Mm-hmm.
They go to the ABC shop, the Disney shop, which is marvelous. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the CBS shop, which is, it's a glorified glory hole.
It's a closet.
Yeah, really, it's like something you stick your thing into.
Yes, it's glory hole. Yeah.
Very, very, you know, it's got the Letterman Theater colors, you know, the Ed Sullivan Theater colors, but that's about it. All right, so we're working. It's a work in progress. Here's some of the questions. Hi, I'm Lisa from the first season of Survivor. May I ask you a few questions, taped for broadcast? How did you enjoy the CBS store? Did you buy any keychains? Can you rate your disappointment in the CBS store from 1 to 10?
1 being the most disappointed, or 10 being the most disappointment?
What does CSI stand for?
Okay.
Do you miss Murder, She Wrote? Which gumball do you hate the most? What's your favorite thing about Les Moonves? So what's the deal with Becker? You know, these were much meaner when we were doing them in the car earlier. I'm going to have to mean these up a little bit.
Mean them up a little bit, right.
Yeah. No, and again, it's not who do you think will be the next anchor to leave 60 Minutes. It's who is the next anchor, the next 60 Minutes anchor to...
due to failing health.
Well, say to die.
Hey, you should ask the question, do you think Dan Rather looks like a doofus with his new haircut?
New flat top.
Well, have you seen his new flat top?
Yeah. When did you first find out Dan Rather was a communist? And then, no matter what we do, and Rob, we're going to have to redo these. We got to have another writing session. The last question, that's great. Can you tell me who is Jane Clayson? Because, you know, that's the broad on the Good Morning CBS show.
Ryan's partner.
Up, here's a guy on the phone from Florida, says Beyond the Mat is on right now. Scott?
Yes.
Yeah, what channel is it on?
522.
Oh, one of the Stars channels.
Yeah, and it's also on at midnight tonight, too.
Oh, midnight. Boy, we don't get it in the hotel.
Right. Yeah, right. We're in a hotel in New York. All right.
That's not what I'll be watching at midnight.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
All right. See you later.
I'll be watching something at midnight that I can watch until noon tomorrow.
My wife. I'm going to tell you about what my wife did. There's no way of segueing out of the fact that you're going to be buying a 12-hour porno channel. My wife, she signed up for... what I think is maybe the dumbest concept I've ever heard of. Maybe you've heard of this. Yeah. Now, we have a DVD player. That's not uncommon. Lots of people have DVD players, and we like our movies on DVD now instead of on VHS. So, how do you normally get a movie? You go to the Best Buy or Circuit City, you buy it, or you go to Blockbuster.
Right.
And you rent it.
Right.
She signs up for this thing on the Internet, and here's the deal. You give them a credit card, and they've got a list of like 1,000 movies, okay? And you type in movies that you would like to see. And then they send you, whenever they come in, 4 or 5 movies that are on your list. You watch them, then you send them back, and then when they get the movies back in the mail, they send you some more movies that are on your list. It's ridiculous because I said to her, you have to go to the post office to mail the thing back. You might as well just go to Blockbuster Video.
Yeah, because, you know, there's your time saving. But I guess, is it a cheaper alternative?
I don't know if it's cheaper or if it's that she likes being surprised when she opens the mail, because she was opening the mail yesterday, and she had like 5 envelopes from this place. She says, right. Oh, good. Oh, look, it's The Legend of Bagger Vance. She opens it, and she says, oh, look, it's Billy Elliot.
Now, if you like them a lot, do you get to keep them?
No.
Never?
That's the thing.
It's
no. No. They're you're borrowing them.
See, I love collecting them, because, I mean, you know, they're so much less cumbersome than VHS tape.
No, I don't get the concept. The concept seems to me to
be you pay one flat fee?
I don't know. You know, these are details.
Right.
God love her.
Right.
She tells me the details, and I don't really listen to all of them. All I know is that she's constantly on the computer scrolling up and down this list of movies that she'd like to see, and she's typed in like 1,000 titles, and whenever they come available, they send you 3 or 4 of them, or maybe it's 4, because they won't send her any more until she sends the one's back that she's watching right now.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I think I talked to somebody who has the service and loves it, and they said that the shipments actually overlap, that you get the new ones before you send the old ones back, and it comes in a prepaid mailer, so you don't have to go to the post office. You drop it in your mailbox.
Why don't you just go to Blockbuster?
Well, this way you don't have to leave the house.
Yeah, but listen, why would it's ridiculous? it's just freaking ridiculous. It really is. I mean, so now you're going to open the mail mm-hmm. to get a CD, or to get a DVD that you want to see,
right.
and then you're going to watch it, and then you're going to send it back?
Ultimately.
And you don't always get the ones that you want.
What, do you get a reusable case that you... It's a mailer. It's like a cardboard or whatever. And you
well, do they send... So wait, they send no, you... No, they came in an envelope, and inside was just like a record sleeve. It was just made of paper.
You got to pay the postage every time?
I think that's part of what you pay. Your subscription covers the postage that's pre-printed on the sleeve.
I got a guy who's a member of the club.
Oh, good.
Maybe he can explain. Hello, you member of this dopey club?
Yeah, I am.
Why? Why would you... I asked my wife this. Why would you do this?
Oh, why not? Heck, it's a $20 flat rate fee, and you can watch as many movies a month as you want. And I'm on the road a lot. Matter of fact, I live in West Virginia. I work in D.C. about every week. But
when you're on the road, do you worry about the club?
Nah, not at all. Because when I get back on weekends, Friday night I get back and I got three movies in my mail, and I just open them up. I watch them all weekend. Monday they go in the mail.
Okay, but couldn't you just as easily on your way home stop at Blockbuster, pick out three movies that you would really like, and then when you're leaving on Monday, return them in the slot at Blockbuster?
Actually, a lot of the times Blockbuster doesn't have, you know, the movies that I want to watch. They've got mostly new, you know, the new releases. And, you know, this particular club has, you know, a lot of the older stuff that I want to see.
But you don't, what Frieda was telling me, you just pluck down these movies that you'd like to see and they just send you whatever they have on hand at the moment, right?
Yeah, I got a list of 10 that's on the, you know, that's in my little club membership. And they go down the list, like I prioritize them 1 through 10 and say, you know, they get three movies in. And then
it's getting a little complicated.
Yeah, I know.
No, it's real easy. You just put down your favorite ones, and they get three back, and say you've got 1, 2, and 4 on your list they have in stock. Then that's what they send you.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But my wife is like this guy. She's in love with this idea. She was sitting there this morning saying, "This is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life."
What's your time limit? I mean, when you get the movies in, how long do you have to watch them?
As long as you want. It's just like $20 a month. You can get those three movies and, you know, keep them for a couple months. Now you're up to $40 for those three movies. But, you know, with having the list on the internet, once you watch them, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, what if you don't happen to like the movies that they pick out for you?
They're movies from your list. Like what Frieda's done is she has taken the time, because she has lots of time.
How many titles did she go through?
100.
Oh, wow.
But she selected 100 movies. She's like, I'd like to see this one. I'd like to see this one. I'd like to see this one. So when I'm done watching the Legend of Bagger Vance and Billy Elliot, I'll send them back. And then like 3 days later, they'll send me two more.
You know, you
list.
Talk about renting, and I know that, you know, buying them is more expensive, but you get great sale prices on DVDs, and what I do, I get these great sale prices on DVDs, and then I keep them. And if they're movies that I really, really like,
well,
I love it because I can go back and watch them. But, I mean, I probably got like 12.
You know what? That's why...
I got them all with me, too.
That's why we're different, because I'm the same way. If there's a movie I like... Yeah. If given a choice of watching, for instance, The Legend of Bagger Vance,
right.
Please, I'd rather be shot in the head than watch that movie. I'd rather watch Casino for the 30,000th time.
You own Casino, don't you?
Yes.
And I own Casino also.
And that's why I own it, because I know when I put it on, I know I'm going to like what I see.
I can tell you what I own off the top of my head. I own Casino, I own Goodfellas, I own The Godfather, I own Scarface. There is a particular theme here. They are mafia movies that I own. I own Something About Mary. I own Patton. I own Cider House Rules. I own Remember the Titans. I own Boiler Room.
Cider House Rules, a fag movie.
You, what I, Buzz, I know it's a chick flick.
No,
I don't think
so.
You'd dig it.
It's a great movie.
You've never had an opportunity.
Fag movie.
No. If you, this is
I just
not,
don't like the title, Cider House Rules.
Arthur, I own that also. If you, sat down and did it and like erased your mind and decided to clear your mind, you'd probably like it.
Okay, right there. Like, I'm going to erase my mind. So you're saying that I'm going to go and do this with an open mind?
Open mind, yes.
You know,
much like I am with wrestling.
I am closed-minded.
Yeah, well, you might like it. I'm just saying that I know with Titanic, it became a bigger-than-life issue.
Right.
But Cider House.
Never seen it.
Never will.
You peeked at it.
I've seen, I saw the
scene. You've probably seen it in little tiny sections that you could put all together and see the whole thing.
I've seen the scene where the fat girl is getting her picture drawn by Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right.
And I've seen where the ship is sinking and they're hanging on the very end of it.
That's pretty intense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, intense.
Incredibly intense. You would have liked it in the theater.
That is a girl movie.
No, it's an everybody's movie.
Titanic is a movie.
Why are we starting this again?
You buy a ticket for Titanic if you have a vagina. if you have a penis, you go see something like Total Recall. You go see, I just got an Arnold Schwarzenegger box set. That is killer.
I forget this is not a good subject for us also. On the heels of our wrestling discussion.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Rob, for reminding me. Over the weekend in Reno, I watched on pay-per-view Little Nicky.
You were very excited about the fact that although it got panned by...
I loved it. Mm-hmm. Adam Sandler has a hit movie in Little Nicky.
But was it a hit at the box office?
No, it was all with the box office.
It was his last movie,
yes,
right?
Harvey Keitel plays the devil. it's got...
Naturally.
Yeah. It's got a bunch of people that I don't like Kevin Nealon in it.
Boo!
Although there's a funny scene where Harvey Keitel, who's the devil, gets pissed off at Kevin Nealon, and he shakes his hand and points his fist, and all of a sudden, Kevin Nealon has boobs on his head. And for the whole rest of the movie, every time you see Kevin Nealon, he's got teats on his head.
And it's well done.
Very well done.
The special effects are well done.
And one of the things that Harvey Keitel has to do on a regular basis is shove stuff up Hitler's ass.
Really?
Because Hitler's in hell.
Uh-huh.
So Hitler comes out and he's wearing a French maid outfit. And they come over to this big cabinet. And Harvey Keitel, who incidentally has the devil horns and everything,
right,
and he's wearing like silk pajamas, he opens up this cabinet and says, Adolf, pick out a pineapple. And Adolf Hitler picks out a small pineapple and he goes, Adolf. Okay. And he picks out a much bigger one. And then the scene is actually Harvey Keitel shoving the pineapple up Adolf Hitler's ass. I laughed. I liked Little Nicky.
You didn't see it in the theater?
No, I didn't because...
You bought into the critics.
Because all those idiots that wrote it was the worst movie ever. And yes, Adam Sandler is annoying. His vocal... His cadence.
Is that the one where he's got the goofy haircut?
Yeah.
Right.
And it's not so much the Billy Boucher baby talk.
Turkey for you.
No, it's more of a... Yeah, I'm Little Nicky.
That's another one of his voices.
How you doing? Hey,
right.
I'm the devil's son.
I think that's his third voice.
But
his third voice of three.
I laughed out loud at Little Nick.
Well, I'd sure like to see Harvey Keitel shove a pineapple up Hitler's butt. I mean, that does sound funny.
And not to give away the end of the movie, but at the end of the movie, he actually shoves Little Nicky's two brothers up Hitler's ass.
Wow. It sounds, I mean, totally out there. I mean, the plot is just completely it's a fantasy picture.
It's what? I thought it was funny. That's a movie I'd buy. See, I wouldn't rent Little Nicky.
But we agree that I like to have them. There's something about DVDs. I like to possess them. I like to have them at my disposal. I look at them and it makes me feel good to see that I've got them on the shelf.
I'm the same way. Even if I'm never going to watch them, I like knowing.
Right.
Just in case, if there's ever that moment when there's nothing on television.
And there are moments like that where you say, hey, but you know, nine times out of ten, you go, nah, I don't want to watch anything.
Yeah, but they're there just in case.
Sure. Do you have Patton on DVD?
I do not. I don't love Patton the way you do.
Yeah, maybe I'll just get it for you.
If you must buy me a gift, I'll accept it. Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello?
You're on the air. Hi.
Hi. My name is Jennifer, and I belong to that club that we're talking about.
The one that Frida belongs to? Yeah.
Yeah, and I was going to say two things.
What's the name of it, Jennifer?
It's called Netflix.
Okay.
And we go on to the internet, and we pick out which movies we like, and we probably rent two or three a weekend, and so it costs like $3.99 a Blockbuster.
Yeah.
So it really pays for itself, like, once you've rented five. Because a Blockbuster, it's like...
Five.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Five.
Anyway, but also, once you rent them, then you can see if you like them, and then we buy them.
Sure. All right, honey. Right. Whatever.
Okay.
There's the idea.
All right.
Well, you know, what it is, Donna.
God bless you. There are people who think that way.
It is a perfect service for people who really don't know what they like.
And is it a crime that you and I, at least when it comes to the movies,
we do.
We know what we like.
We know what we like.
I like what I've seen.
We agree sometimes. Sometimes we don't agree. Sometimes we really don't agree, but we do know what we like.
We know what we like, and that's what we want to own.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, this is Brian from Portland, Maine.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, listen, I belong to the Netflix thing, too, and she's, you know, partly right. It does pay for itself, but it's great for the lazy people. I'm like the laziest man alive. I don't want to go to the video store all the time. So you just, you know, you put on what you want, and
you
it
know,
comes
that's
to
one
you,
thing
and
said
you just
about
put
the,
it outside.
The mailbox, I mean, that is a lot. I mean, if it's a walk down to your
I
mailbox
guess.
As opposed to going to Blockbuster, then
right.
that
but
is...
Listen, I'm lazy, but how much of a hassle is it to go to Blockbuster? Even I go to Blockbuster.
That's a tremendous hassle.
I want to go outside. I don't want to pay late fees. You pay like $10 in late fees for having it 3 days late or whatever. You
so
can
keep
outside as long as you want.
You know, so if you had it the better part of the year, you know, what
well,
it would
no,
be...
No, and after a year, they charge you for it.
Well, after a year, but I mean, I don't want to hold on to it for a year. Maybe a couple weeks.
What are we talking about, $240?
Yeah,
all right, thank you, my friend.
Yeah.
All right, well, maybe my wife's not nuts. I mean, it's just she's really jacked up about this new dumb CD club.
Will you be able to get the
DVD club? I'm sorry.
Will you be able to get the ones that you want on there? I mean, will you take a look at it and say, hey,
no.
Check a couple of these?
No, I refused. She said to me, look at the list.
Yeah.
And I said, why? She said, you might see something you want. I said, I have everything that I want.
Yeah.
All the movies that I love.
You own.
I already own. And now, like,
I
you know,
too.
Like Little Nicky. That's one I've seen now. I want to go buy Little Nicky.
Why? Well, you know, as far as old movies that have been out a while, why is it so limited? Why are there so few DVDs in general out there? When you go into a section of, you know, of The Wiz, or you go anywhere with the DVDs, there aren't enough.
I know that Albert Brooks has just had the one about the driving to Winnebago. The one that we love
Lost
so much.
In America.
Lost in America, and also the one where he's dead and he goes to heaven. And
defending your life.
The awful makeout scene with Meryl Streep.
Right.
Both of those are finally available on DVD now.
Cool. I would certainly buy Lost in America.
I would buy them both, because even though he makes that with Meryl Streep.
Oh, yeah, it's a good movie.
That's a pretty funny movie.
It's got Rip Torn in it.
Rip Torn is good.
Yep.
There's another guy who loves this club. I don't get it. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, radio gods.
Hi, how are you? Hi.
Fine, how are you?
Hi, we're great.
Yeah. Listen, Netflix subscriber, enjoy it well.
Okay, great.
And a lazy man like today.
Bye. Okay.
So I guess even drunk people can enjoy it,
oh,
too.
Of course.
Hello.
Every day. Don and Mike Show.
Flix are here.
Hello. Hello.
Who's ready for some movies right now?
Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
What's going on?
Hi.
Hey, I know you guys are already done talking about the wrestling thing, but I'd like to ask you, do you remember when that guy, Draz, the guy who used to play for the Denver Broncos, McMahon, was asking if he could puke on command, and he was, like, puking, like, simultaneously, like, every 2 minutes in the...
Are you in the middle of a hailstorm right now?
No, you know what? No, he's on that line that...
No,
hold on. I had to disconnect him, man.
Right.
I had to get him to ring off, because that's the line that, like, shares a fax machine here, or the internet connection.
I'm glad they fixed it.
Well, we're only up here two or three times a month.
That's true.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, it's me.
Hey!
Is it me? Yes, it is.
I'm sorry, I sound different on the radio.
And he hangs up.
That's all. Hangs up. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
What's going on? I'm looking for Tron on DVD. Do you know if it's available?
Yes.
Oh, is it really, guys?
Yeah,
actually, it is.
Rob and I both have it.
You do?
You're lying.
It's fantastic.
You're lying. No, I don't doubt that it is. Buzz, is it out?
It is for a fact.
Yeah, it is out, and I have it, and Rob has the Spanish version.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. When do you guys close?
All right,
get out of here.
All right, enough with that.
Park's closed, man.
Enough with that. We got a letter here from Paul Dean. Anybody know who Paul Dean is?
Is Paul Dean the one that knows famous people?
No.
That's Paul Baldwin.
Paul Dean is the guy who listens to the show and every year writes a letter with his highlights of the show.
What? How many years has he done that?
Well, let me read it here. Dear Don and Mike, welcome back from your World Tour 2001. Yes, it's that time of year again.
Charlie says go to line six.
Go to line six?
Go to line six.
Who is it? Hello?
Hello, my boo-boo.
Oh, hi, baby.
Did you try and reach me?
No, I'm just talking about you. Oh, no, I guess I did try to get you during the break, yeah. I was just talking about that dopey DVD club that you joined.
Yeah, I heard you. I heard you talking about that, and I saw that someone had called my cell phone, so I thought you'd try to call me on air. Yeah, okay, well, you don't need me.
Well, no, I mean, I all the people who called pretty much said, I guess, why you enjoyed that, right?
It's an experiment. I don't belong to the one that you have people calling. There was an article about it last week in the paper, and I thought, you know, these places have like 11,000 DVDs, and they have a whole bunch of different patterns, and the one that I signed up for is that you get four a month for like $23, and then you keep them as long as you want, and they mail them to you, you know, and you have a whole long list, and when you mail one back, and they give you the envelope to mail it back in, then they send you the next one on your list.
If you get one, if they send one to you and you really super like it and you want to keep it, do you get to keep it if you pay for it?
You can buy them on their website. I don't know if you want to keep a used one or not. I don't know. I didn't. But you can. You have the choice between buying or renting. And that way, when a movie first comes out, it's on your wish list. And then, you know, as soon as you've got
your wish list,
as soon as you don't have four at your house, they send it to you.
That's another thing with the rental; they've been handled.
Yeah, and when you get them, do they come in the original packaging? Or
No,
they're little. As a matter of fact, I didn't even recognize them. I did this on Friday, just fooling around. I thought, shoot, I'll try that for a month.
I told you they just come in like a record sleeve.
Yes, and then by Monday, I thought it was like it was a birthday card. That was just a little fatter birthday card because it came in this yellow envelope that was a little bit fatter. And then you just stick them back in there and mail it. And the good thing is, you know, what the article was saying and what's true is with DVDs, there's so much on it, a lot of times you don't want to send it right. You don't want to give it right back to the rental place. And so you want to keep it, you know, for a few days and
again,
watch.
This is my wife. You know,
right.
Me, I watch it, I return it. Take it back.
Oh, no, I like the director's commentary. I like all the stuff on it.
I hate that junk. All right, honey.
All right.
Love you.
Another thing we have in common, my darling. I love you, too.
What? That I don't be offended that I don't like your DVD.
I'm not offended.
Club.
I'm just remarking. I'm not offended a bit, sweetie. Okay, I love you. Bye.
Hey, listen, hold on a second. How about last night with the neighbors, huh?
You know what? I was telling you this morning.
I have not said one thing about the neighbors who came down last night. Not one thing.
Oh, well, that's not what I was going to say. I was going to say last night how you stick to your diet. Beautiful.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I made a huge dinner because we had company, and you just ate just your little portions.
No, but I am now adhering to your advice, and when people come down to, and I have nothing to say about the neighbors that came down last night. Don't look at me like
I'm
that.
Not looking at you. I'm hoping you had a good time.
We had a great time.
That's good.
But I didn't even mention it today that we had people come down last night.
Well, that's very mature of you, my darling.
Thank you. I'm working on that for you.
Well, I appreciate that. I'd like to have one or two friends. That would be pleasant.
Yes. And also, I think I told you guys off the air.
Yes.
That this morning my mother-in-law called up, mm-hmm. and she was asking what I had written down on the sign about her yesterday.
Our lives are an open book. We can't get away with anything.
And my mother-in-law, who listens like such a hawk, God bless her.
you love your mother-in-law.
I do. I love my memo-in-law.
Yeah.
She not only wanted to know what I wrote down on the card, she wanted to know what cartridge Rob had pulled. Out
you know,
play.
We have that dynamic up here in New York with Rob's big head right between us. That we don't have that in Washington, and it is hard for me. I have to say that it is very. When you get on a serious subject, I'm not smiling at anything other than his giant cranium here.
I know.
It makes me. Now I know why you behave badly all the time in the studio. It's because you've got this guy next to you.
Yes, and he's egging me on and like.
He is the great egger on. I wasn't. There's nothing.
I told him this morning about the thing with my mother-in-law, and
right.
I said, I think Frida's getting pissed at me talking about all these people that we know. I got to start backing off a little bit.
And I am sitting here, and I would normally be sitting here and not even giving you a weird look, but just because he is here, you start talking about you have nothing bad to say about your neighbors, and I, for all I know, that is absolutely true, and I'm smirking just because he is here, and I know you're trying to be serious. It's like being a badly behaved guy in a classroom, I swear to God. It makes me want to behave badly
and you know what
do
it
bad
is?
Things.
Honey, what it is, stop it.
All right.
What it is, you know, they said something last night, and they said, don't repeat it on the air.
Uh-huh.
And it was really nothing that was even...
No big deal.
It was just a little goofy story.
Right, it was no big deal.
So I mentioned it to Rob off the air, and I said...
He's evil.
I know he is.
He's evil for Sutta, and he loves his job,
and
which
is
worse.
I need some credit from my wife here that I didn't violate this thing by talking about our neighbors on the air.
I'm disappointed because you have such a good time with your other neighbors.
Yeah.
You
know? These neighbors are equally nice.
Good, good. All right.
We didn't get drunk with them like we did with the other neighbors, but...
They're friends of the Brits also, right?
Yes, they are. Yes,
good.
They're both very nice people. You know, the only thing about them that pisses me off is the fact that he's retired. Yeah. He's like 40 years old. Stop it, Rob. He's like 40 years old, and this dude is retired already.
Cool.
You know, he's one of these .com guys.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
Well, there's hope for you, boo-boo, and there's hope for us having a social life, and I'm pleased by that. Because either you have to make a choice to be a hermit, which was your choice for like the first 19 years of our marriage, and then it doesn't matter if you talk about anyone because you don't see anyone anyway. But if you're going to socialize and have friends, you got to be a little more aware.
I just wish that our friends and family members would realize that this is how I make my living.
Well, I think if you handed out disclaimers when people walked in, that you gave them some warning. But I think people are surprised; they don't think of that.
I would think your mom would know. I mean, your mom
wasn't really mad, but it was not. Mom wasn't mad at you or anything. It was just no skin off your nose. I said, why don't you pick up the phone and then they're going to do that.
But then
pick up the phone and give a little reassurance that it's just comedy. You just have to make that phone call.
Yeah,
but
here's the thing about your mom though. She takes it to the next degree because your mom said to me, "What did you write down?" Because if you remember the conversation. Yesterday, I was having with my wife. She said that my mother-in-law said that it looked like I've lost weight now, but before she said I was getting fatter. And I said, well, then I'm gonna say something about her. And you said, no, no, no. And I pretended like I wrote something down in a card, and I gave it to Mike, and the card said F you, and Mike laughed. But then Rob pulled out a cartridge. Yeah. And your mom said, okay, well, if you wrote down F you on a card to Mike, what cartridge did Rob pull out? And I had to tell your mom, Rob pulled out the cartridge of Fall Down. Which is the cart like for an old person?
Right.
He was saying Rob was just joking, but that's what we do here, and in the heat of battle, that type of thing.
Yeah, I got caught up in it.
And believe me, my mother knows that better than anyone. I mean, my family and I have got thick skins. We know that it's just for the show. We don't pay any attention to you. I mean, I didn't say anything to you after you did that.
No,
but what I'm saying, some people don't know that, but if you would give a phone call, of course, you'd spend all your time, you'd spend an hour on the phone every night,
Well, what am I supposed to do? Call everybody that I've come in contact with during that day and say hi. Incidentally, I may...
Just the people I like.
I may
just
say something. I may say something about you on the show today. Please know that I love and respect you as a friend, but I'm probably going to say today on the show you're a douchebag.
If you could like fax me a list of who you're going to talk about on the show,
I have a line.
Go over it.
I have a line I say to people when they say to me if I meet anybody or even bump into friends or anybody I see and they say I'm going to call you. I have a standard line that I've used for probably 10 years, and the standard line is if you call, I can't protect you.
Yeah, but these people haven't called.
No, because these are people that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
Like the neighbors. All right, sweetie.
Anyway, you're a good boy. I love you too.
All right, bye, honey.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
I'll see you later. Bye-bye. There she goes.
Very, very good.
With her DVD club. Both of you guys,
go to hell.
You're both trying to get me in incredible trouble here.
I'm not. I am not.
Oh, no, you're not. No, you weren't doing that, too.
I'm sitting over here just enjoying myself. No.
Right. Yeah, you're innocent. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
My fellow male hooers.
Hi.
How you doing?
Great, thanks.
Hey, I got I got that tape of the match going on right now. The Mick Foley rock match.
All right, well, I guess, are we past that now? Mike say he kind of believed it?
I covered that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can hear him crack on the head, because remember, Don, he was handcuffed, so he couldn't,
that's the other thing I forgot to tell you, that The Rock had... Mankind handcuffed.
Right. Well, so that had to, leave his head exposed.
Yes, right, which is why he was smacking him over and over in the head with the chair.
How did he get him handcuffed?
When he kicked him and knocked him down on the ground.
And he had handcuffs with him?
Yeah, he had handcuffs in his pocket.
That's against the rules.
Oh, stop it, Rob.
He's being very difficult today.
All right, let's hear it.
There's one.
All right, let me just hear it, please.
It's fake as hell, right, Mike?
Listen, just shut up and listen to it.
Oh, F you, pal. Lummox.
Hey, he's a wrestling fan, Mike.
He said, oh, no. Did you hear the sickening
song? I heard what he said, and I think The Rock will do it. You better say it.
That was like blood everywhere.
Now, all those smacks are really...
He's dying.
He is hand... Oh, shut
I'm
up.
Only doing it because of this guy going, hey, listen to that, Mike.
Shut
that
up.
That sound fake, Mike?
Okay.
I mean, you know, I don't doubt that maybe there was an injury during the choreographed violence.
Okay. All right.
Listen. I mean, you agree with me on that, right?
Yes, and they showed it, like I said, they showed it before the match, right, that these guys were getting together and saying,
yeah,
okay, I'm going to beat you tonight, and you know.
It's covered ground. I mean, I don't doubt that there was maybe an injury sustained during their pre-arranged match, which probably happens quite often. You hear about those guys getting hurt all the time.
There was an injury.
Okay.
We should break before the letter. Okay, I'm going to read the letter from the... Let's just read you the beginning of the letter. Dear Don and Mike, welcome back from your World Tour 2001. Yes, it's that time of year again. Saturday was my 14th anniversary.
Wow.
Of listening to the Don and Mike show.
Wow.
And close is my year 14 annual recap.
God, he does it every year, and we appreciate
it. This guy listens to the show every day, and he writes down, this year he has sent 6 pages
of highlights
of his favorite highlights from the last year.
Cool.
On the Don and Mike show, and we will hear that right after this.
Number 1, Arbitron rated, the Don and Mike show.
Hi.
Hi.
You in the building?
Yeah, I just moved in Monday.
Oh. You like it so far?
Mm-hmm. Everybody's been real nice.
Well, that's because you have big jugs. I mean, your boobs are huge. I mean, I want to squeeze them. Oh. Mama!
They invite prostitutes to join in. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Sure do.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to call that hot feet line today?
Oh, good.
Yeah. Got a chance. We're going to have some fun sex today. Girls will J-O you with their feet.
Hot feet.
Also, a recording session with Pete Johnson coming up.
Hi.
And I believe we're going to have a celebrity interview via satellite today.
Very good.
Lots of stuff to get to before the big WNEW, We're the Bestest Station in New York City party tonight.
Holding hands with my brothers.
So here's a letter from this guy, Paul Dean.
Good.
Who has listened to the show for 14 years. He writes, what a year, what a year. Lots of big, big bets. Not the least of which had Don in Manhattan in underpants saying he was a pretty girl. Actually, it was a Depends adult diaper.
Yeah. Very good.
Actually, as the late, great Mike Royko would have said, it was a sucker bet betting against the Yankees. As for Mike's upcoming Red Sox bet, coincidentally enough, I was in Boston a few days after the bet was made, and I'm listening to local radio. 3 guys yammering about the Red Sox, yada, yada, yada. Then the obvious lifelong Boston fan called in and said, in the spring we dream, in the summer we suffer.
That's true.
So even if they're currently leading their division right now, it's not summer yet.
It's not summer.
Anyway, congratulations on another great year, and keep on doing it the Don and Mike way. You guys are great. Paul Dean, P.S., please bring back Pete Moss and Less Humid and Elvis to Elvis.
You know, I'll tell you, Pete Moss and Less Humid, when we had that little machine...
We got to get a harmonizer to do that.
I would love to do that if we could get, you know, I mean, well, yeah, but you know, it's a new piece of equipment, and you know this company we work for.
Right, so here's this annual recap of the things he liked best in the last year on the show. Mike, unfortunately, has his golf club stolen, and an immortal phrase is born. I could run around in circles for ye.
Wow, that's a memory.
Buzz Burbank. Fez wants to make a deposit in the Burbank.
Remember.
Your first trip to New York. Mike's first cab receipt. 3:05 a.m.
Wow, I remember that.
Also from your first show in New York, can't speak, am dumb.
Yep.
Don dislodges a 6,000-old piece of coral in the Cayman Islands and keeps giving his hard-ass scuba instructor thumbs up instead of the okay sign.
I remember that.
Yeah. Your first ever pregnant bikini contest.
Oh. Yeah, baby.
Dennis Murphy takes a high school senior to her prom and later has sex with an old lady in Phoenix. Timmy O'Bibine has sex in public at the Dewey Beach Beach House. It is grossed out by a used female condom.
Ew!
Don and Mike get sponsorship for their on-air farts, and Don sets a record of 24 in one show. Don and Mike also learn the Cantonese word for fart, ope.
Ope.
Don't talk about May. That was an entire session on this show.
Yes, it was.
Carmy, the CBS hawk, has bad breath. As management's belief in Don and Mike falls, and the tape delay grows to 48 seconds. Buzz always carries a Ziploc baggie in case he has to throw up while driving.
Yes.
Don and Buzz have to have the last word. Naturally. Don't be fooled by imitators. Insist on the original Joe Mama guy. And then he has the times of the original Joe Mama guy called us.
Wow.
When he said, John Ardinger. Okay, because he tried to get us to say, no, it's Joe Ardinger.
We took that bait. We're like bass.
That was good. G.I. John. We fell into that when he said, no, it's G.I. Joe. He said, no, Joe
Mama. You know,
Mama.
He really kept a record of these. It makes me realize just how stupid we were.
And his elaborate scam about a recipe for General Cho's chicken told to Nick Joe. Who he, of course, said was Nick John.
Nick John, it's always John. All right, that's his M.O.
And incidentally, P.S., Nick Joe, when he called and was convinced that the Joe Mama guy was authentically Chinese. Now, let me see. Oh, here's a good one. Mother's Day at the O'Meara's.
Yes.
The Great American Steakhouse is too crowded, so back home for wings, hamburger helper, and soft-shell crabs that had gone bad, which the dogs end up smearing on the floor, and Laura has to clean up. Then Mike watches as she mows the lawn.
I did that, yeah. I actually mowed half of it yesterday.
So is that the reason that Father's Day was a no-show at the O'Meara household? Mm. It sure is, Mike. It sure is.
Thanks, pal.
That's what he wrote.
Fall Dean, my buddy.
Charlie Broyhill, this is Robert Goulet, not once, not twice, but three times when he calls the request line to wish Mike a happy birthday.
I remember that one.
Don and Mike let listeners do their lame TNT promotional interviews. After spending more time in the shop than his garage, Don finally unloads his lemon Volvo and gets a new car. Best of all, it's a Cadillac.
There you go, and you love that car.
Don at the DMV, friend of the gypsies. Buzz's hatred of baby strollers,
yes.
Particularly on airplanes or in restaurants.
Amen.
Get out of the way, says Buzz. I don't bring my furniture into the restaurant. You did say that.
I will compliment Paul Dean. He's just laser this year. Really, yeah. This is a good one.
Buzz and Marcia leave few marital peaks to climb by making love on their newly carpeted screen porch for their 25th anniversary.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, no.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very briefly, but when we carpeted the porch last summer, we christened it.
He told us on the show.
Way to go, stud.
You're welcome.
The half your age plus 7 rule.
That's right.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that is the...
I don't even know what that is.
It is the rule for women getting into relationships with women. If a woman has to be...
Half your age.
At least half your age plus 7 years.
After a 13-year drought, Don and Mike help Wendell, their engineer, get relaxed and centered with Juicy Lucy.
Yes.
But later, Wendell can't finish the job at a whorehouse in Nevada. I'm sorry, sir, your hour is up. Don and Mike treat listener Ryder to a wonderful night at a bunny ranch whorehouse, and he has no problems in that regard.
You know, that little saying we have on this show from Dude Walker, we invite prostitutes to join in.
We do.
Seems appropriate.
Lots more regular guys calling the show, like the How You Doing guy.
Hey, Dan.
The Mike Landis guy.
Mike Landis.
The crying guy who keeps asking Buzz for weed. And the Satchmo guy who retired at the top of his game.
He did. He actually went away, and he was still functioning.
Mr. 40. That's right, just Mr. 40.
Right.
Mike gives Don a case of vodka for his birthday after Don learns he can't drink anymore. Well, that was obviously short-lived on my part. I can drink, just not as heavily.
And you know what? One of the better gifts I've ever given you, I think.
Yes, don't tell Don's British neighbor who gives Don a manly, how's your father, just because Don's his mate.
How's your father's when he grabbed your beanbag.
Right.
Right.
Not too gay. Oh, this one's about me. Hey, Rob, feel this. I swear to God, I'm getting a Woody.
I remember that like it was yesterday.
Yeah. Tongue twister of the year on the Don and Mike's show, Shiloh's Six Slut Sex Show. We did, one time we did have Shiloh's Six Slut Sex Show.
Yeah. Shiloh's Six Slut Sex Show.
Sorry. Mike orders 15 pornos in September. Frida gets turned on by new appliances. Despite having monster number one ratings in Greenville, South Carolina, the show is canceled. Thank God they're back on the air broadcasting from a trailer park. Handsome Ken Stevens and Jeremy Coleman botched Don and Mike's ratings win. Two World Series tickets, which they got in a trade deal. And when Don and Mike give the tickets away to a New York listener, Jeremy shells out $20 for refreshments on a post-it note with a little smiley face. Alan Linewand gets it right with cash for a ratings bonus,
yeah.
But not before Don and Mike go on strike and leave the show in Alan's hands.
Very good.
Do you remember the day we went on strike?
And he was mighty talented.
In the God Has a Sense of Humor department, a low clearance sign falls on Jeremy Coleman's car in the parking garage of WJFK.
It was the will of God.
The current president of CBS Radio, who was once the general manager of Washington Station, WPGC, told Don, you're a talent, you'll be in radio a long time. You're the best man for the job. Show me you can work at one station for 2 years and I'll give you the job. He is then called by TV star Leah Remini. Rob A. poses as a station general manager, interested in picking up the Don and Mike show. And a Westwood One representative describes it as sort of like the Ron and Fez show, a zoo in the afternoon, except there's no news.
I remember that. Yes, they were selling our show at Westwood One.
WWDD, what would Don do? Oh, that later became what WWDAMD.
That's it, right.
What would Don and Mike do? As the Ahern Turns.
Yeah, very, yeah, yes. We did that for a while.
The radio drama about the guy from the Washington Post. The PTAA, the potentially tedious argument alarm.
Right.
Don's brother Jim showers at a guy's home in Portland, Maine, and then sends Don a lovely Packer windsock for Christmas.
You know, your brother covers a lot of ground. I forgot that.
Mike is a fashion plate in his silk pajamas from Target.
Yeah, baby.
Smartly outfitted with a waiter's jacket from the Palm Restaurant.
I wore that. I actually wore that for the very first time only like 3 weeks ago.
Fat Tuesday weighs in with a 585-pound man and a 483-pound woman. Tina Richards, she's a man, baby, calls Don and Mike's agent to say that Buzz got her pregnant.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
remember we pulled that joke on our agent?
Yeah, we separate those practical jokes on our agent about a year, one every year.
The Don and Mike audience can never guess the secret sound or the endless series of clicking secret sounds, but they know their drugs. No, no, no. Take the Vicodin before the methane.
Yeah,
before the methadone.
Our tribute to Matthew Perry. Uh-huh.
Don and Mike conducted a scientific survey to determine which fast food chain is the dumbest. The results are a tie between Dairy Queen and KFC. But remember, Dairy Queen gave $198 in change for a fake $200 bill. Don gets a speaking role of King of Queens, and Leah Remini's mom thinks that there's an element of meanness in Don.
That's right. I remember that. And now, you know, we've incorporated that into the show regularly.
Clanzo the Clown hates anyone. Well, there you go, Rob.
Thank you.
Thanks, right. Everyone. Rob A. reprises his role as the Redskins Stadium announcer and enjoys his manly falsetto introducing Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson. Don was a plushie and didn't even know it with his teddy bear he had sex with in his youth. And finally, Don doesn't believe in hand towels. He just wore his new Don't Slip banana slippers just to rub his demon seed into the carpet.
True.
You.
Those are his highlights for the last year.
Way to go, Paul Dean.
God damn, that guy listens to the show every day.
He does indeed. That's some funny highlights, and, you know, we don't even remember that stuff.
No, not a lot of it. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, I think the guy forgot about one or two.
What's that?
How you doing?
No, he had the how you doing guy.
Had the how you doing guy in there. Yep.
Also, Mike, when on Mother's Day,
wasn't that when you and your mom were watching something about Mary and you forgot all about the hair gel scene?
I don't know. I really can't tell you.
I think that was a separate time that you were with your mom.
That happened,
didn't
it?
The only embarrassing movies I've seen with my mom that I can remember that really when I made the horrible mistake when Laura met my mother for the very first time, we went up there and we went to see the movie Falling Down with Michael Douglas, which is like one of the most gratuitously violent movies you'll ever see. But more important, the language, like when he goes into the Army surplus store, you know, the guy goes, you got to take it up the A. You got to take it up the A when you go to prison. And then, of course, The Sopranos, which was, you know, I wish we'd see a Sopranos episode like the one I saw with my 81-year-old mom.
Because the one that your mom saw with you,
she could have seen last week's or the weeks before, right. And I would have been fine.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, your guys' advice and recommendations about Sopranos is about as good as nothing. Sopranos suck.
Hit the delete button.
Don't use the S word, sir.
I just said the S word.
Never would have had HBO if it wasn't for your horrible recommendations of that thing.
Oh, please. Go to hell, you idiot. The Sopranos has been bad for 2 weeks.
It's been bad all season.
And guys's is not a word.
Okay.
And listen, if you don't like The Sopranos, why don't you just cancel HBO, douche?
Well, because I'm keep waiting for it to get better, but it doesn't.
Yeah, but maybe you're not admitting that you're really sucked in by the show.
Switch to Showtime. They have Queer as Folk.
It's a morbid curiosity. It's just like going by a car wreck. You're just waiting for something to happen or something.
Well, I'm waiting for something good to happen on this telephone call. When's that going to happen?
About never. About when you hang up on me.
About when we hang up on you?
Yes.
Okay. There it goes.
You're right. It's better.
Hey.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hey.
What's going on?
Hi, we're doing the show.
You know, there was another one that he missed.
Another
one?
It
was the day that Buzz was revealed to be totally evil. And
I remember. It was the day that we did about a half hour on...
That's right.
On the real Buzz.
On how evil he really was.
Right. Gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Mike.
Everybody has their favorites. When Paul Dean comprises this list, I think he picks out moments that stand out in his mind.
Well, right. Yeah, the list is his favorite stuff.
It's his favorite stuff. It's not everything.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
On stage in Sacramento, Don had sex with the blow-up doll. This sick bastard.
I did. That blow-up doll's name was Estelle Napier. Hello, Don and Mike.
Estelle, you pig.
And even though I'm not a fan of it, I've never tried it. I had simulated anal sex.
And you came away liking it.
With Estelle Napier.
Right.
Hello.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
I am a normal Baltimore, Washington listener. I happen to be out in the Napa Valley listening on, WHTK, is it?
KHTK.
KHTK. It's wonderful to listen to you guys when you go from winery to winery. I just want to compliment you on how much better the show is when you're drunk.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Drive you anyway. Drinking wine, listening to the show.
One more call. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Didn't you give away $10,000 that year, too?
Oh, yeah, right.
That was a big one that they put out.
Yeah, $10,000 that really pissed off Infinity.
Yes, it did.
Because that was when I had to have the meeting with the lawyers, where I promised that I would never do that, even though I'm still doing it.
They said the only thing from now on you can give away is 10,000 marbles.
Sorry.
10,000 marbles. I can't wait to see you on Friday.
Oh, that's right. We are going to be in Portland a week from Friday. As a matter of fact, hey, Rob, why don't you get Pete Johnson ready?
All right.
You know how we have different people cut the commercials for us for the Las Vegas-style shows?
Right.
When we come back, we're going to bring our New York engineer, PJ, Peter Johnson, in here, and we're going to coach him. You're going to hear the on-air session.
I don't think he'll need a lot of coaching. He's a very talented professional.
As we get Pete Johnson to cut the commercial for our next Las Vegas-style show, we'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Rated, the Don and Mike Show.
Well, let's see.
Mike, I got a phone call.
No.
I'm not on the phone. I'm right here.
Oh. I'm going to take a phone call.
Oh, where's the phone? I'm not buying it. I think it's fixed.
Do you get the feeling
that you're gay?
Yes. Time for another spoof. So here's Don and Mike.
And I can't believe I didn't bring this up on the show today. With all the things we've been discussing, this is the funniest thing I've read in a long time. Paul McCartney has written a book.
Yes.
A book of poetry.
Yes.
In a new poem.
Poetry.
Former Beatle, Paul McCartney, writes that his wife Linda, dead Linda, visits him in the woods in the form of a white squirrel.
I go into the woods and there's this bloody squirrel there.
After Linda died, I think all of us in the family would have noises or see things and think, that's Linda, that's Mom. Okay, that's okay. But Paul, a squirrel?
It's a little white
Hello.
Squirrel.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, my new girlfriend has one leg. What do you think about that squirrel?
I think that someday she'll be a little one-legged squirrel in the woods.
Sure.
And she'll be visiting someone, but I think the odds are you're going to be in that woods as a squirrel before she is.
A squirrel. Can I put my nuts in your mouth?
There you go. That's right. It's time to stock up. Stock up for the winter season.
Fill up those cheeks with my nuts.
Hello. Look, it's a white squirrel. Blimey.
It's Linda.
It's Linda. Look, that little squirrel's got a little tambourine. And that little squirrel's about to sing Hey Jude.
That squirrel's got a dog face. That's me wife, Linda.
A little white squirrel in the woods. I can't believe it. Hello. Hello, little squirrel.
Say, look over there. Why, that's former Beatle, Paul McCartney, and he's talking to a squirrel.
Hello, little squirrel. Would you like some boiled meat that I'll serve up for you nice? Some kippers?
And meanwhile, over comes Peg, the one-legged woman. Paul, yep. What are you doing with that rodent creature?
Hey, quiet. It's not a rodent. It's me wife. Me wife, Linda. She's talking to me in the form of this squirrel.
Really? That's your wife?
Yeah, now lip on out of here. Leave me alone.
Hey, let me tell you something.
What's that?
I'm talking to the squirrel.
Oh, go ahead.
Your husband eats steak every night now that you're dead.
Oh, that's it. I'm going to jump right up to your throat and gnaw your teeth out.
I'll beat you with my prosthetic leg.
I tell you, welcome to the McCartney fantasy land.
Paul, you're out of your mind.
That's right, but I'm still more talented than Ringo.
Paul just walking around.
Yeah.
Hey, there's Linda. Hello, it's a squirrel.
It's a tiny little albino squirrel.
No, hold on, we have a Paul fan on the phone. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Are you serious? Are you
What's
serious?
Going on, radio guys?
You serious? You're a Paul fan?
Yes, I am,
well,
man.
I'm a Paul fan, too, but the guy's lost his friggin' mind.
Well, you know, it's a tough loss for the guy, and, you know, my heart's out, too.
Oh,
but
come on, please.
I agree with you guys in a way. He is kind of, you know, a white squirrel. Come on.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. How
say,
you
say, look at that piece of dog excrement on the ground.
It's talking to me.
That's
that
Linda. Came from the sheepdog.
That's Linda down there.
Hello.
Hey. But lay off the guy, man. You know, he's dating what? That
one-legged woman.
One-legged model or whatever.
Yeah, gee, let's see. Why should we lay off Paul McCartney? He's only the most talented singer-songwriter since Beethoven. He's got enough money to last 25 friggin' lifetimes. Yeah, let's lay off him because he's got it so tough.
Right.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm sorry that is...
No,
I
agree with you.
Well, then why are you calling?
Well, I just wanted to... Just prove a point, you know, that was the love of his life. He could have had a supermodel, you know, 20, 25, 30 years ago.
So what's
he didn't do it. You know, Linda wasn't the most gorgeous woman on the face of planet.
I mean, we hit an open nerve, and we got a guy. It's just a turbo Paul McCartney fan. You know how it is with your favorite. It'd be like somebody was taking on Rob Grill. You want to rip his throat out is what you'd like to do. You'd say, you know, he'd say, but we don't have Rob Grill out in the woods talking to bunnies or squirrels.
Paul's lost his mind.
Hey, guys.
Furthermore, I want to tell you something else, and I'm a Paul fan, but I defy you. You find a picture of Angela Lansbury,
mm-hmm.
and you put it next to a picture of Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
It's the same face, baby.
It's pretty amazing.
Wow.
And, you know,
yeah,
God
no
forbid when God forbid when Paul eventually dies, I'm wondering who's going to bury Paul. Because I still think about that all the time.
Probably Julian.
Hey, look, it's a little squirrel. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Paul.
Hello, Linda.
Here I am, a little bitty squirrel in the woods.
I'm banging a chick with one leg now, honey.
That's all right. You always told me, Paul, mayonnaise is needs.
This little white squirrel's going to let you go ahead and tap that as much as you can.
Hey, guys.
I eat meat now, too, honey.
That's all right. I'm not around the police
anymore. Well, you've been over here last week. I cooked a meat and rare steak, you know.
What's that?
What?
No, I'm just joking, guys. Hey, I appreciate being on the air with you guys, and God bless Paul McCartney and the Beatles.
I got a message for you, sir. It's important not to take this show so seriously. You see, if you do that, you're going to hurt yourself, so don't do that.
Well, hang on, guys. I need to go hunt down. I just saw a white squirrel run across my driveway.
Say, I was just listening to that Don and Mike show on the radio, and they had a really stupid guy calling in. I think that was Linda talking to me.
That's right. Linda's everywhere. I was talking to the blinds. That's right. The blinds hanging over my curtains. And a voice came right out. Oh, now I'm turning into the crocodile on him, mate. Hello.
Squirrel. Yeah. Liverpool, not Australia, bud.
Yeah, all right, bad.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, guys.
But why don't you go get your jerk on to the White Album, okay? My God.
Actually, I'm into... really listening to Revolution right now.
Yeah.
Right. You know, this is one of these guys.
It's very humorless.
You have Beatles fans, and then you have guys who just don't get it.
Right.
Guys, listen, Paul McCartney's a talented musician.
We're having a little fun. We're being a little irreverent. It's what we do.
But the guy's freaking nuts if he's going out in the woods and seeing a squirrel and thinking it's his dead wife.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Then why'd you call?
Because I just wanted to prove a point.
What was your point? What was the point?
Well, I don't have a point. That's my point.
Listen to Paul,
what he does, what he's done.
God. You know? I'm listening to Paul. I'm listening to Paul talk to a goddamn squirrel and think it's his wife. Okay? That's nuts.
So why did you call?
I love Paul.
Actually, that's a good one, too. That's nuts. You know, the squirrel, I get that. Good one. I'm sorry.
Do you realize
guys.
You have really, really effectively stopped this show right now, sir?
Yes, I have. I've wasted 5 minutes of both of your valuable lives, and I apologize.
Why do you do that? Why?
Actually, first time I've done that, and I apologize.
Okay. Come on, please. Listen, at least agree with me. Paul McCartney's nuts for thinking his wife's a squirrel.
I agree with that.
Okay, thank you. And you shouldn't have called.
Thank you.
Do you agree?
Yes, I agree.
And you should not have been born. Your mother should have aborted you.
You always go for that extra something, don't you?
Someone should have come at your mom with a hanger and pulled you out. Do you agree with that?
No.
Oh, well, he can only take it so far.
Okay.
Just remember, it's all fun.
All right, guys.
Okay? And someone should have pushed your mom down a flight of stairs.
Oh, dear.
While she was carrying you.
Oh, my God.
Do you agree with that?
No.
No, you do not.
And perhaps your grandmother should have been hurt in some way.
Back in the olden days.
So she could not give birth to your mother, who then could not give birth to you.
Back out west, they'd say.
Absolutely not.
Yes, that's what I think. I'll take it back to the very beginning of time, that the very first cave woman who was bending over, taking it in the rear from the very first cave man,
mm-hmm.
should have been hit by a falling rock
right.
and cracked on her head.
Could have broken the cycle.
Yes. Right at the very beginning.
And you wouldn't be making this phone call.
When your first ancestor, when your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother...
When your lizard ancestors crawled out of the primordial ooze.
I wish a dinosaur would have stepped on them then, on your great-aunt, stopping the chain of life that has brought you to this show today.
When you were a tiny microorganism, a shrimp should have come along. Your shrimp ancestors have eaten you. Or you could have been strained into a whale's belly. Oh, then whales wouldn't have been before shrimp. I don't know.
Just anyway, to get the you out of the way here.
Somewhere along the line, it could have been stopped.
In the theory of evolution, whether it be your mother, whether it be your grandmother, whether it be the cave woman, the dinosaur, the Big Bang Theory, somewhere in there we could have stopped this.
Right.
And you tell me that there's a God. You tell me that there's a God. I tell you, there's not a God.
Oh, my God.
What
a major statement from Mr. Geronimo. A new theological point of view.
There's not a God, because if there is a God, he would have stopped you from being born, so you would not call this show today.
You're wrong, Don.
I guess that's why I'm not religious.
There is a God. This is a test. God is testing you with this caller.
Well, God, this is not funny. If you're listening right now, I'll tell you what is funny. Paul McCartney talking to a squirrel and thinking it's his wife.
There it comes full circle.
That's funny.
Hey, yeah, I agree. It's funny.
Then why'd you call?
Because you were talking about one of my biggest influences in my life, and I just wanted to...
There it is. Now, at least, you know, God love him. He's coming through with the truth. Mm-hmm. He's telling us where it comes through.
This is what I love. How has Paul influenced your everyday life?
Are you a musician?
Yes. Well, No. Not currently, but when I grew up, all I listened to was Elvis Presley and Beatles records, right. And that's all I listen to now, Elvis Presley and Beatles right. records.
What is the Beatles song that has most influenced your everyday life?
Actually, it'd probably have to be, because of all the hardships I've had in my life, it would probably have to be Let It Be.
Let It
which
Be.
Which is a Paul song.
Wouldn't it be the Beatles song, I'm a Loser?
Actually, that was sang by John.
Loser. But it's a Beatles song. Right.
It wasn't sang by Paul.
It wasn't sang?
But it was a Beatles song.
Sung.
It was a Beatles song, though.
Yes.
Yes. How about the story of your first bath, the wonderful song Yellow Submarine?
Well, Ringo. Ringo is going to be Ringo.
If someone would have hit your mom with Maxwell's silver hammer,
right
in the belly, you wouldn't be here now making this dumb call to this show.
I apologize.
The bang, bang, Maxwell's silver hammer went right into your mom.
If Rocky Raccoon
came to my room,
and shot you in the head.
Yeah, shot me in the head. I'd be dead,
You
know.
You have this problem right now.
That's right. If I would have picked up the phone and you would have said goodbye, hello, goodbye, we would never had this problem.
Okay.
Really? Come on. Get over it, man. The Beatles are all right, but don't let them run your goddamn life.
Yeah, they don't run my life.
They do.
No, they're just an influence.
The influence.
No, not the influence.
The biggest musical influence.
Musical, yes.
Yes, because Let It Be.
Biggest influence in my life is money.
why is Let It Be such an important song to you?
I don't know. Different times you saw, when Paul's sitting there with the scraggly ass beard, he looked like an ugly little liver full bastard. Excuse my French, but
oh, God.
I'll tell you, there was a lot of love in his eyes. He knew what was happening. He was leaving the Beatles. 2 months after that.
Are you sure it's Paul McCartney and not Billy Ray Cyrus who was your influence?
Well, I'll tell you, Billy Ray and the whole mullet thing, I love that.
You love that?
Yes, I love that.
You love
mullet. Actually, if you remember, Paul had a mullet for a while.
Who had a mullet?
Paul.
Paul had a mullet for a while.
Back in the middle 80s.
Okay. Well, listen, I agree with you. He's a good musician. But listen, don't kid yourself. He's just a guy who wrote popular songs. Maybe the greatest musician of our era.
We poke fun at him because he is way up there.
But he's a nut. He's a freaking nut. He's talking to a squirrel thinking it's his wife.
Hey, I agree with him.
Okay.
I agree with you, Doc.
Then why'd you call?
Well, I just wanted to get on air, number one, but I wanted to...
I want to
speak my point about Paul. I mean, the poor guy, I feel sorry for him, but
again,
then he's out there dating a model, 2 months after Linda's buried, and that's kind of screwed up.
Wait a minute.
I admit that.
You know what you're doing? You're not making any point.
No.
You're trying to make points,
but
you're...
Hey, I didn't try to make a point.
Well, then,
all I was trying to do...
You're wasting our time and our listeners' time.
Okay. And I apologize.
Okay, good. All right, now, good day, sir. Now, ring off.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Christ.
Terrific.
Hear what we have to go through, Pete? You hear this? Hear this crap from these morons?
Can you imagine, Pete, if you had to, sit down in a restaurant with that guy?
Let me ask you, Peter Johnson, if you saw Paul McCartney at Central Park talking to a squirrel and thinking it was his dead wife, what would you think?
I think he was crazy.
Thank you, Pete. Voice of Reason.
Pete Johnson.
Peter Johnson.
Sweet and simple. That's all we needed from that other gentleman.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I want to take that guy fishing with me this weekend. What an anchor he would be. I just want to toss him out the back of the boat and drift.
Okay. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
You there? Hi.
Oh, hi. I just saw a white squirrel run across my thing with Stan the Fan.
This three, oh, I got hit by a car. I was standing out in the middle of the road. I didn't know whether to go right or left or right or right or left. And then when I finally made my decision, I got smacked and turned into muck.
All right, Peter Johnson, our New York engineer, is in the studio now at WNEW. Pete, here's what we'd like you to do. We'd like you to be our celebrity voice for a commercial that we're going to be running for the next 2 weeks.
You go, girl.
We are going to be doing a Las Vegas-style show, one of our raunchy appearances, next Friday, May 11th, in Portland, Maine. So, all you got to do is repeat the lines after me.
Okay, so we need to get right on the microphone, please.
Use proper mic. We need to all be very quiet. We can't laugh, even as funny as it might be, because we are recording this for a commercial, and we can't block out our voices.
Okay, so you start by saying, "Hi, I'm Pete Johnson."
Hi, I'm Pete Johnson.
You may know me as the wacky engineer from the Don and Mike show.
You might know me from as a wacky engineer.
You might know me. You may know me as the wacky engineer from the Don and Mike show.
You may know me as the wacky engineer from the Don and Mike show.
Do you like breasts?
Do you like breasts?
How about some nice fresh cooter?
How about some nice fresh cooter?
Would you get a flash looking at some gash?
Would you get a flash looking at some gash?
Then join Don and Mike.
Then join Don and Mike.
And their Las Vegas style show.
And their Las Vegas style show.
The Raunchy Fun.
The Raunchy Fun.
Happens Friday, May 11th.
Happens Friday, May 11th.
At the Fabled State Theater.
At the Fabled State Theater.
In Portland, Maine.
In Portland, Maine.
You've got to be 21 to get in.
You've got to be 21 to get in.
Show starts at 8 o'clock.
Show starts at 8 o'clock.
Like TNA?
Like TNA?
Like D&B?
Like D&B?
Come to the show.
Come to the show.
Condoms optional.
Condoms optional.
For the Don and Mike show.
For the Don and Mike show.
I'm Pete Johnson.
I'm Pete Johnson.
Now go F yourself.
Now go F yourself.
We need one thing, though.
Very nice.
What's that?
We need happens this Friday, happens tomorrow, happens tonight.
Okay. Right.
Hey, Pete, and for the purposes of editing, I think it might be a real good idea if we change your inflection here and make the this Friday and the tonight and all that, make that just as enthusiastic as you possibly can. More lively than the rest of it, because it'll sound really consistent if we edit it that way.
It's this Friday night.
I mean, like, super late, as urgent as you ever get, you know? It's this Friday night.
And it's this Friday night.
It's happening tomorrow night.
It's happening tomorrow night.
Perfect.
The big show is tonight.
The big show is tonight.
Absolute boy, you are a genius.
He's fantastic. That's it. Thank you, Pete. You'll hear that on the show starting tomorrow. We'll cut that down. Turn that into a promo.
Good job, Pete. That's Peter Johnson, everyone.
Our engineer.
Hey, Pete, what'd you have for lunch today?
What'd you enjoy for lunch, Pete?
Come right over here, Pete. Say it on mic. What'd you have for lunch today?
Just a ham and cheese sandwich.
Lettuce and tomato?
Yeah.
Are you coming to the big WNEW staff party tonight?
For a couple of minutes, anyway. A little while.
And who is your date going to be?
It's going to be Mike.
Yeah, I already arranged that with
Mike, you did it.
I did indeed. He's mine, boys.
Okay.
All mine.
Well, fair fight tonight when we get there.
Hey, no, he has spoken for.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
All right, so a man influenced by the Beatles, taking crap from a man influenced by Star Trek and Batman.
Yeah, except the difference is if they had a story.
Adam West dies, you're probably going to read his poetry.
No. Listen, if Adam West, his wife died, and Adam West was in the forest talking to a squirrel thinking it was his wife, I would bust his balls, too.
Right. But he wouldn't be talking. He'd be at night on his deck talking to a bat.
Right, and if Jean-Luc Picard's wife died, and he was in the forest going, oh, it's number two, number one, look, it's a squirrel, it's my wife.
Hello, squirrel.
I'd call him out, too. Please. These guys are dopes.
That was a good comeback.
Hang up. Thank you.
Excellent.
Hello, Dynamite Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
I am Betty. I'm here to protect Pete. Remember when you first went to New York? I was his first girlfriend.
His first girlfriend?
Yeah, remember you wanted me to get a date with him?
Oh, I don't even remember, honey.
Oh, yes, but yes.
you called Pete, the first engineer, and I said he was from the 50th generation. He had to be good.
Yeah, right.
You remember that now?
No. But glad you enjoyed Pete on the show, though.
No, and I also want to tell you that our lady that's going with Paul McCartney is going to be a very rich one-legged lady, too.
Shocker.
True.
You're right. Okay,
true.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for that keen insight.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. That was Yoko Ono, isn't it? I like her. Hello. Oops. Don't do it, Jimmy.
Don't worry.
No. Why have a Yoko Ono alarm in the studio when you're a walking, living, breathing Yoko Ono alarm?
Don't worry.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. You know, it's very Charlie-like when you do the end of that.
Anytime I go to any kind of falsetto, you're going to get Charlie.
Hello.
Hi. This is Chet Cassidy. It was Linda. She likes squirrels.
You know, I like the people that really don't put any thought into it and just pick up the phone and roll with it.
You know, it's true. From heaven, I tell you. From hell, I'll show you.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What? You like squirrels?
Oh, now we got to hear that. We got to hear that call again. Turn your radio down,
or just hang up.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
I realize we have to break, Rob, but I just want one decent phone call before we break. Hello, Don and Mike.
Good luck.
I know, so we could be here for a while.
Hey, Don. I'd like to talk to Don.
Okay, that's not it.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Here it comes.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, you're on the air.
Did you hear the one about the poem that Paul McCartney wrote about John Lennon, killer? The jerk of all jerks?
Paul wrote a poem about Mark David Chapman?
No, about John Lennon, the guy that killed him, yes, you're right, and called him the jerk of all jerks. That was the name of the poem.
I thought you phrased the question. I was a little confused, and when you phrased the question, I am not sure what she is saying. So I have no idea what her point is.
Are you saying that Paul wrote a poem about Mark David Chapman?
Yes.
Okay.
Entitled it, The Jerk of All Jerks.
Great. When he wrote that poem, was he talking to a squirrel who he thought was his wife?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
You know, you occasionally will make subjects taboo on this show. Paul McCartney might have to be one.
Yeah, and who knows?
There seems to be this groundswell of humorless people that are calling.
They love Paul.
They love Paul.
So he's a nut job. He's talking to a squirrel. He's like Dr. Doolittle.
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Speak to us.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, I was just calling to tell Don that... you know, he's tripping on that, you know, McCartney's thinking Linda's a squirrel.
Yeah, I'm tripping on that, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, hey, man, half the people in India won't eat cows because they believe they're reincarnated.
And that's why, after this show is over, the entire staff, we are moving to India.
Right.
Cool. All right, bye.
But before we do that, we're going to McDonald's.
They're dummies, too. Hello. Don Mike.
Hi, I called yesterday and you said I should call back for my birthday spanking.
Oh, you know what? Call tomorrow.
Yeah, call tomorrow.
Okay. You're hitting us at a bad time again.
All right.
Who is the celebrity you most resemble? We'll try to get one piece of information for you every day for the next couple of weeks.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, yeah. Call tomorrow, honey.
Okay.
Call earlier, though.
All right.
Call before people start to agitate us.
Well, I try to call after work.
Well, you try to work your schedule around our schedule.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
It's always important. All listeners to remember, it's us, then you.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Hi. I was going to ask you if you remember in Little Nicky, Clint Howard is in the credits?
Oh, yeah. No, hold on.
Is he in it?
Clint Howard is not only does a cameo, Clint Howard is a drag queen in Little Nicky.
Wow. That's worth going to see the movie.
Yes. Thank you, honey.
Okay. I love you guys.
No, love you more.
Love you more.
Love you more.
Love you long
love
time.
Love you more. Love you long time. All right. Thank you, honey.
Okay. Bye, guys.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. See, now, that was a pleasant call.
Very pleasant.
Right, we can end on that call.
Very good.
Thank you. You get that Peter Johnson promo ready?
I'll work on it.
You'll work on it. Okay. That means it won't be ready. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show. We have had
had a couple of thunderstorms the past week that have been dynamite. Last night it opened up again, and it's still crazy. It may rain again tonight.
Yes.
It is very wet out there, I want to tell you. Thank you, class. Very good. It's so wet out there today, I saw a robin at a laundromat waiting for his worm to come out of the spin-dry cycle. All right, what do you got?
Barons of the Jizz Biz, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, hold on. Before we get to this sound effects CD,
yes,
let me just get it loaded in the machine, take a call. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing?
Hi,
great to talk with. Really great. I'm going out to Las Vegas this weekend, and I'm staying at the Paris Hotel, and I thought I'm looking at the itinerary, who's playing there and everything, and just so happens Kevin James is playing there this weekend. And I thought maybe you would want to sponsor a couple of listeners going out there to see his show.
That's a fantastic idea. Sponsor, what do you mean? We pay?
Yeah, sure.
Pay for you to go out there to see his show?
Well, I'm going to be out there.
Pay for the tickets?
Pay for the tickets to the show.
You know, Don, then we could maybe throw in some extra to tip the maitre d' to put him down maybe towards the front if he's a fan of the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's a pretty good idea.
Sure.
How much are the tickets?
I'm not really sure.
What are they, Norm? Do you know what they... Have you been out there before?
No, I've never been to Las Vegas before.
Okay.
You've never been?
I would assume show tickets like that would run in the neighborhood of $40.
I think maybe 50 a
40,
pop.
50 bucks.
Hey, you got to pop the garçon $100.
I don't think so.
To get down front?
Yeah, to get down front.
Really?
Yeah, I've done that before. It's usually $40 a ticket to get down front.
But I really think that the most... Well, that's unbelievable that it would cost $40 for tickets and $100 to sponsor. I know what's even more incredible is that you think we'd pay.
Why
do you think? Yes, we're friends with Kevin James, but we're not friends with you.
No, well, I'm a good listener. Of course you're friends
Thank
with me.
Thank you. Well, we can't buy tickets for every good listener.
Not at all. I just came across the opportunity. I thought it'd pay
for
long.
What opportunity? What, you're going to be in Las Vegas when Kevin James is going to be there?
Absolutely.
Well, BFD.
Oh, well, I thought you might want to, you know.
You did not.
I certainly did.
You really did?
Absolutely.
No.
Yes.
When have we ever done anything like that?
First time for everything.
Well, you thought you'd call? We're not running a charity show here.
I know you're not.
What's wrong with you?
Well, I thought you're friends with Kevin James.
Yes, we are. We are
being
friends.
Being out there?
Yes,
so go for it.
We are friends with Kevin James, and you listen to our show.
Yes.
So we should buy you tickets to see Kevin James?
Well, I think it would it'd be neat for him to see some of your listeners in the audience.
How many listeners do you think we have? Four? There's going to be 1,000 people in the friggin' audience.
Well, I could, you know, you put me down for it. I get to meet him or tell him that I'm coming. I get to meet him. I think he would like that. You sending a couple of your listeners out there.
Why?
Wait, no, this makes no sense.
You're dumber than the guy who called about Paul McCartney and talking to the squirrel.
Oh, that was dumb.
Tell us how would we benefit from that?
Well, I think Kevin James would appreciate it.
No.
How would we benefit?
Well, he would appreciate it, then invite you back on his show a few more times.
Okay, let me run this through me. Now, then run this by me again.
Okay.
We buy you tickets.
Yes.
Somehow, you bully your way backstage to bother Kevin James.
Yes.
You go backstage and, hi, Kevin!
Or from the audience or whatever.
Or you heckle him.
You heckle him from the audience.
No, I would never heckle him.
And then after you heckle him or stalk him backstage, he picks up the phone and calls us and finds out we're responsible for you being there. And he invites us back on the show.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
You really think that would happen?
I think it does happen.
You think it does happen? How?
Well, I think it does happen because that's the way things work sometime in your business. Is that not right?
One
hand washes the other. You show appreciation.
How is sending you to a show showing appreciation?
To Kevin James?
Yes.
Well, I think you're showing that you're you know
what
you want him
what.
What?
Well, I think you're showing that you're interested in him. I think, you know, you have listeners
that have
interest in listening to you.
How is sending you out?
His show?
How is sending you out showing interest in him?
Well, you're not sending me out. You're sending me to the show.
How is sending you to the show showing interest in him?
Well, I think a listener calls, informs you of the situation, and you act upon it.
I think you're an incredible prick.
Oh.
I really do.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Are you in sales of some kind?
Not at all.
What do you do?
I'm a teacher.
You're a teacher?
Yes.
What do you teach?
Elementary school.
Elementary school.
Okay.
Oh, that's scary.
Don and Mike have heart. Don and Mike have heart.
No, listen.
Thank you, Buzz. Thank you, Buzz.
Well, hold on. Before you think Buzz is your friend,
Thank you, Buzz.
Would you buy this guy tickets to go see Kevin James?
No, and I don't think you should either. Buzz was saying Don and Mike have heart. He was recreating a scene from a movie called Lost in America where Albert Brooks tries to get the money his wife lost back from the casino.
Right.
You have just about as much of a chance of getting to see this show where we will pay for it as Albert Brooks did in that movie.
I see.
Okay?
Okay.
So you mean to tell me you can afford to fly to Las Vegas to stay at the Paris Hotel?
Well, actually, I'm not. I'm going on a business trip.
Uh-huh. You're a teacher. What kind of business?
Well, my wife is at a different business.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so what? You're.
I'm a hanger. I'm a hanger owner.
You're a hanger owner.
Yeah. So your wife is the successful one in the family?
Oh yeah.
And you can't afford to buy two tickets.
That wasn't the point.
What was the point?
Well, the point was I thought maybe you knowing him, being a listener, and going on and on.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
When you go out to this convention or this conclave that your wife is, this business trip, are you going to be going to functions, receptions, cocktail parties where your wife is going to be there, you know, commiserating with people in her business?
I don't know.
But there's a chance that might happen?
There might be a chance that
happens. Whenever that happens, do your wife a huge favor. Stay in the bar.
Okay.
You meet the parents of the kids you teach? You said elementary school?
Yes.
What grade?
I'm a resource teacher. I do a lot of things at the school.
Wait.
Reading teacher.
Not a real teacher.
Huh?
Not a real teacher, then.
Yeah, well, I don't have a regular class. No.
Uh-huh.
A real teacher.
You're not certified?
Yes, I am.
Well, then, if you don't have a real class, how can you be a teacher?
Well, I take small groups and work with them
Are you a special ed teacher?
Yes.
Well, why don't you come out and say that? It's a noble occupation.
Okay, well,
if you told me you work
because with, most people don't understand the intricacy.
You told me you work with Targe, maybe I would have bought the tickets for you.
Well,
people don't recognize the intricacy. What is that word?
The intricacy. You got to be a little nervous. That's all.
Okay, I mean that's okay. It just frightens me when educators, you know, create made up fake words.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Really? So we've had
interesting calls today. Yes.
So what do you do with these kids? What do you tie them up in the bath? I'm thinking about something about Mary.
Well, no, not back in your day. No, it wouldn't go on.
No. I'm talking about something about Mary where
ties them to a clothesline.
Ties them to clotheslines and let them run around.
You're a special ed teacher. Yeah. That is a noble profession, but I don't understand. I still don't understand.
Why did you call us and ask us to buy you tickets to see Kevin James?
Why did I?
Why would you? Yes.
Because I thought it was a neat idea.
And you should shout that. I mean, honest to God, if you're a special ed teacher,
I mean, I was going
you should
the
let
internet.
People know. Let people, don't be embarrassed about doing that for a living.
I don't think he is a special ed teacher.
You don't think so?
I think he's in the class.
I really do.
Are you really a special ed teacher?
Absolutely.
What kind of teaching degree do you currently hold?
Master's degree.
From what university?
Johns Hopkins.
Wow.
Really?
Huh. Yes.
Mm-hmm. How would you help a child with a learning disability?
Well, you remediate the disability. You find out what the problem is, and you help him, you know, through it. Compensate for certain things.
It's one of those
different ways to do things.
It's going to fall into the category of we'll never really know.
Yeah. I've already made my mind up.
Okay.
I've made my mind up already.
I thought I'd give it a shot.
Yeah.
Thought, you know, maybe I'll go pay my own way and see and maybe report back.
Well, it might not work for Kevin James, but I know if Paul McCartney ever comes to town,
Fred,
there's a guy that probably wouldn't mind sitting next to you.
Oh, well, okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. I would hate to be one of the parents of those kids. Get in your car, pick your kid up from school, you turn the radio, kid goes, "They're my teacher." Yeah, that's tough. And you're listening to that guy on the show begging for us to buy him tickets.
I still don't understand.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Radio gods.
Yeah, how about that guy goes to Las Vegas? Bet $1,000 for me on the future of America. I'm betting against it. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, I was wondering if you guys would pay my rent.
Yeah, right, because you listen to the show, right?
Exactly, and I think it would get you in the good graces of Kevin James.
Thank you. You know, I like those balance calls.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Radio Masters?
Yeah, hi there.
Hey, I loved it when you get it.
Oh, you're getting back to your favorite bits of the year. Okay, thank you, my friend.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you know, we got something going here. I got a sound effects CD. WNEW, the station in New York, has an incredible volume. I don't know how good they are of sound effects.
Okay. It all started, Charlie brought some sound effects of squirrels in here when we were talking about Paul McCartney talking to the white squirrel.
Right, and I think he's queued up from one of these discs what's supposed to be the sound of a squirrel.
Oh, good.
All right, let's hear this now. We're going to take it back to the Paul McCartney talking to squirrels. Here from the WNEW sound effects library is Paul McCartney talking to squirrels. That is awful.
That's horrible. It's made with a synthesizer.
That is
an old synthesizer.
Yeah.
That's awful. Sad. I've never heard a
that
squirrel.
That sounds like a squeegee guy.
I've never heard a squirrel make that sound. But then again, I've never really squeezed one hard.
Let's see what else is on this CD. Because that one sucks.
A squirrel alarm.
All right. How about a blue jay?
Ah. Now, I was surrounded by blue jays my whole youth.
Oh, good.
Really?
Yes, I was.
Like Uncle Remus?
Yep.
Were
you raised by blue jays?
Okay. All right. Here's blue jay.
All right. That's a real blue jay. That's a real blue jay.
Right.
Yep, that's a good one.
All right, how about a parrot?
Oh, okay.
Bat.
It's Tom Gavin.
Parrot.
Parrot. Robot.
Robot.
Robot. 22.
Fake.
Oh, yeah. Sucks. That sucks.
So I guess we're going to get one real, one fake.
Okay. One. Chimpanzee.
Ah, that always is the measure of any sound effects library. I love them.
Chimpanzee.
I love them even if they're bad.
We put a hidden microphone in the room of Don and Mike show producer, Charles Broyhill.
Oh,
that's it?
No, they're too short. This is a restaurant that ran out of sugar at Charlie's table. For his iced tea. He's upset. That's not the best chimpanzee I've ever heard.
That sucks. All right, now there's Chipmunk.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Chipmunk.
Okay.
Christmas, Christmas.
What is that, Wheel of Fortune?
That's the worst.
It's like a broken sprinkler.
Chipmunk. No wonder the station has no ratings. Hi, we're out in the woods. Look at that chipmunk.
It's horrible.
The machine. Okay, how about cow?
Ah, good old fashioned cow.
Cow.
A good test.
Here we go.
Cow. That sounds fake too. Wait.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. The second one says cow.
Oh. Mike, that was a weak one.
That's a cow, though.
That was a weak one.
I'm not trying anymore.
Oh, yeah, but the cow smelled it. That was not bad.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'd like to apologize to you.
Okay, let me get a different one. A different one going here.
Get a fresh one.
Get a different CD.
Sorry. Hasn't gotten here yet.
He got the wrong.
Me in my low chair.
Hey, don't wave it over here.
Yeah, gotta go somewhere.
Hold on.
I've broken the CD player.
I got it stuck in there.
I'm very sorry. How you doing over there, Buzz?
Hi.
Hi. Robbie?
I don't think we broke it.
Don's concentrating on the machine, so he's not affected just yet.
Do you mean smelling it? No, yeah. I don't smell your fart.
Yeah. So gone from me.
Let's see what this one is. This is household sounds.
That's inside Ken Stevens' brain. Sounds like an air conditioning unit.
Right.
All right.
Let me try. Hey, you know, I want to see if I'm right. Was I right about that?
I don't know. Look at the book. The book's got 10,000 in there.
It's in the book.
That's Pete Johnson pumping up his,
his penile implant.
Yeah, right.
Hi. It works great. Try it again.
Go F yourself.
I can't get it to work. Come on. Come on, penile implant. Come on.
Hi.
I can't get it up.
I'm flaccid.
It's working. I've got to try harder. There it is. Oh, yeah. Oh, Oh, my.
Oh, hi.
Jesus. Hi, ma'am.
Oh, you notice that that is in the book?
What?
Venetian blinds.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Being open and closed.
I'm opening my implant.
Oh, all right.
It doesn't work.
Here we go, Mike.
Okay.
Got one for you.
All right. This one is for Mike O'Meara. Good evening. Come here often?
Hi.
Yeah, we just come up a couple of days a week, and yeah, nice to meet you. What do you do here? I'm just practicing for later. How are you? Yeah, it's nice. Oh, I've never been to that part of the building. Fantastic. Really. Nice to meet you. We've got to be going now. Mind if I take the glass with me? Here, have another one. Ken, I've got this over here for you. It's got your name on it. Here, take it.
Mmm, that's tasty. That's good brew.
What is this sound supposed to be?
That's the froth. That's the fuzz on the beverage.
Oh, the jizz?
Yeah.
The foam?
Yeah.
So you come here often? What do you do here at WNEW? Hey, nice meeting you. Now we're going back tomorrow night.
Okay. Hi. Oh, you're Stews. Well, come here. Let me unbuckle my pants. I don't think that's what the sound is.
We don't have a record of what they are. It's random.
No, we don't.
I love this.
Mind if I touch myself?
You know, what you do when you go through these sound effects libraries, sometimes you will get a sound that is not does not sound like what it's supposed to be. Hence, we have our great J.O. sound that's a fluttering bird.
Right.
That's Charlie Broyhill checking out his cab fare.
What?
It's Charlie shaking his head.
You win. You win.
Let's try the next one.
What the hell's that?
Air freshener.
Or deodorant.
Yeah, maybe. It's an aerosol.
Yeah.
It's Rob's aerosol. Wow.
Well done.
Other arm. Oh, no, or it's buzzed with a whipped cream can.
Wow, yeah. Wow. Wow, baby.
Hey, nitrous oxide. This is Lisa starting up her vibrator.
Yep, there it is.
She's having trouble getting it going.
Well, she's not concentrating. She's watching wrestling.
At least it just got an orgasm.
Welcome.
Maybe we'll get the countdown of how many orgasms Lisa had.
Very good.
With this dildo. Maybe.
If it follows.
Oh.
Like some of the other sound effects records we've had. I know what you're counting on here.
I know.
You're counting on 12 noon.
No, she didn't get the orgasm. Huh? Like I thought
yeah.
You would go,
bong, bong. No such luck. This must be a grandfather clock of some kind. Who wants some flapjacks right now?
Or so.
That's okay. You know, that's... The chimpanzee was 5 seconds, but they'll let the reverb on the clock go for 3 days.
And it's continuing. This cut is not over yet.
There.
No. There's more to it. Hold on a second.
I was going to do it again.
Winding up the dildo. That sounds to me like being at home. We got a clock like that at home.
Yeah.
I wish I had a clock.
I'd like to get a gun and shoot that clock. It really would.
Yeah.
It's tonight on 60 Minutes.
This is Jeremy Coleman, a ticking time bomb.
Tonight on 60 Minutes, a man who cannot control the radio station has a staff party in which he is beaten to death. The man's name, Jeremy Coleman.
That and Andy Rooney, tonight on 60 Minutes.
Let me get past timepieces here.
Okay,
what the hell was that?
Excuse me. We might need I'm sorry.
Okay, hold on. Let me go back to that.
That's where I'm sitting down on the plane.
<My friend. laughs>
Oh, maybe it's some sort of wildlife. I'm not sure.
Lakers fan.
Gotta be Mayor Swindy in here. And we're in the wind tunnel, Johnson. Let her out. It's Swindy in here. Turn that thing off.
You know, sound effects records go for quantity rather than quality. You know, these are the kind of things, what the hell would you ever use that for?
I don't know.
I don't know. What was that?
Lettuce? Or cabbage?
Rob's wallet?
Cabbage. We opened the cabbage earlier.
Yeah, you look in the book.
Is it eating?
Yeah, I hope it's not eating because it's really not. If they're faking eating, that's pissing me off. Yeah.
I think that was supposed to be eating.
What's that? Eating.
No, that's got to be like...
I have no idea.
Somebody with wooden teeth.
I don't think I've ever seen a larger library of sound effects.
Hey. Jeez, and they all just suck ass.
They do. Hey, hi. One for you, one for me. Let me just pour that for you. Hi. I think I'll have three.
Four.
Four. Five. Ice pick. Okay, thanks.
See what's next.
All for me. All for me. All for me.
Yeah, we're back to the mic sound effects again now.
How you doing? How long you worked at WNEW? What do you do here? Oh, we're only going to be here but a short time. Well, pretty much until this drink's finished. Thanks a lot, though. Nice meeting you. Good. I hope we see each other again sometime. We'll be coming up every week or so.
Or so.
Hey, you know what happens when you mix whiskey and beer? You get an O'Mara. Notice how the whiskey makes the beer froth more. Who wants some flapjacks right now?
I'm wasted.
That's how it works, ladies and gentlemen. That was accurate.
Hey, wasted. Hey, everybody, look in the corner. Mike is drunk.
Where is it?
Magic. I'm magic. Oh, coworkers, I'm magically delicious. Look at me, I'm a frog.
If you can.
Here comes Jeremy into the party.
This is the entertainment that Jeremy has lined up for our station party this evening. Bell ringers. You know, like you see in church.
Okay, hold on. Next cut.
Yeah. This is me on Rob's head. On Rob's flat head.
We're all dancing around Rob, and you're playing Rob's head.
Top of the head, ear. 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 Nose, head, ear. Nose, head, ear.
Perfect tone. And he's got some brain in there.
All right, finish up now. Kneecap.
I love sound effects. I swear to God.
Even the bad ones are good. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
I can't come to the dorm in a wheelchair.
Oh, it's Milton Berle.
Hello?
Hi, Milton.
Hello, wheel me over there.
Hi there.
Someone's at the door. Hello?
We think we got better ones now.
Oh, we do?
We got Hanna-Barbera sound effects.
Oh, very cool.
Okay. Let's see what these are.
These are sounds from the WNEW staff party.
Okay, let me see what this is.
Of course, none of them have labels on them.
Right, of course.
So we have no way of knowing what's what.
Good. Let's see what happens.
But goddamn, this station's got like a million more sound effects than we do.
Didn't like that.
Oh, well, that's the standard.
B, you know what this is? We have... I've heard these before.
Yeah.
They're pilfered from... They're ripped off the cartoon. It's not like you get the ones that they use.
The guy says Hanna-Barbera on it.
I know it does, but they're not done with any care.
Whoa! Watch it, buddy.
Why, you, Mike? You nut.
Don't you dare hit me in the head.
Don't run away from me. I'll catch you. Whoa! Slow down, Django. Hey, Buzz.
Yeah.
Some guy's got weed. I'm there. Turn the car around.
Why, you?
Let's see what's next.
There you go. Merry Christmas, Jeremy. Hi, Ken. Hey, Ken.
Welcome to LaGuardia.
Okay, hold on.
Save these for the party. Seriously, listen to them in the car coming home. A lot of violent ones, you know.
Oh,
people
yeah.
getting the hit.
Hey, Leslie Gold.
Didn't make any sense.
Now, these don't sound like they're necessarily pilfered off the cartoons anymore.
Well, they're dated. Jesus.
What is this supposed to be?
Not sure. I like the other ones better.
Yeah, me too. I like the bad ones better than the ones that are supposed to be good.
I like that one. We might have something there. We might have a keeper there.
That's a pretty good one.
Well, hello, ladies. I didn't know you worked here.
Yeah. Hold on. Hey, Mike, you got a hair pulling out of your ear. Let me pull the hair out of your ear.
Okay. Man, look at my boner.
God, Rob, I'm hard. Come feel. Look how big that girl's nipple is.
Hey, I think I'll go over and tweak the nipple.
I'm going to pull on it, too.
Wow.
I'm going to put my finger in her butt.
Oh, wow. What the hell was that?
Hey.
Oh, man, I just got fisted.
Major D.
Buzz Burbank.
Hard.
And now they're getting...
Oh, I almost said yes word. Yeah, they are getting yes word.
All right, hold on. One more, and then we got a break.
All right.
We got a break. Let's just see if this one's any good.
No. The bad ones are better.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
it is with most sound effects.
You're right.
Except for those Woody ones.
Is that golf?
Yeah, see, I hate it when they do the really short ones like this.
They don't make any sense. Is this supposed to be like when Fred hits Barney on the head or something?
This is a way that you rip off people who like cartoon sound effects.
Okay.
Not bad.
That was a big... Hey, pull my finger.
That's a good explosion.
Wow. All right, hold on.
I keep saying I want to stop, but I keep doing it.
Explosions.
Christ.
Come on, Fred. Barney. Wilma.
Fred C.N.
What was that?
I got one. I got one on the line. I got Pete Johnson's toupee.
Oh.
Reel it in, Mike.
Okay, here we go.
Reel it in.
Oh, wait.
He's running away, I think. He's limping away.
Do you want me to help you?
Yeah, help me out here.
Pull him in.
Come on. Oh,
look. He's running down the hallway.
You got him on the scrotum.
I got to adjust the drag.
Pull him in. I've hooked his scrotum. Buzz, help us pull Pete Johnson in.
I'm pulling as hard as I can.
Oh, you're going to rip his scrotum clean out.
He keeps backing up.
I'm gonna tighten the drag.
Come on, Pete. Reel him in. Reel him in by his balls. Oh, man.
Got him this time.
He's going down.
Him.
Nope. Wrong, guys. He's running away. He's going down in the elevator.
Oh, that's right. Look at how loose the rope is getting.
Yeah. The same. He's down on the first floor.
All right. Pull him back up. Pull him back up.
Come on, Pete.
Oh, look. He's bloody.
He's still hooked in his scrotum.
That hurts. Pete. Okay, everybody else. Let's all pull together.
All right.
Pete. Oh, we got him. We got him. We got him. We got him. Oh, look at that. Beautiful. Beautiful. We got him.
We got him.
We got him.
Uh-oh.
You hooked me in my balls.
Reeling in Pete Johnson by his balls was the best.
By his scrotum.
Very good.
Yeah. 20 minutes for that.
Hi.
The sound effects blow.
I need some iodine.
We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
Apes! Yep. Get some of your dumb cops!
They try their damnedest. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, as you know, we're back in New York doing a show from NEW.
All right.
Today and tomorrow. And tomorrow we'll have a taste of New York on the show, and we send our own Lisa over to the CBS store.
Which we do believe is the finest retail facility in the United States.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we've worked on this during the show. Hi, I'm Lisa. I was on the first season of Survivor. Nice to meet you.
Very nice.
How did you enjoy the CBS store? What did you buy? And then she goes right into the questions.
Right.
What is your favorite character on Diagnosis Murder? What's your favorite thing about CBS executive Les Moonves? Here's a good one. When did you first hear about the death of Tyne Bailey?
That is my favorite.
Which Gumball do you hate the most? So what's the deal with Becker? In your opinion, who will be the next 60 Minutes anchor to die?
Mm-hmm.
Which do you find more annoying, Dan Rather's haircut or his daffy left-wing bias? On the CBS store in particular, can you rate your disappointment from 1 to 10? What was the best item you saw in there? Tell me, did you see these items in the CBS store? The CBS keychain? The Survivor bandana? The Amy Brenneman personal lubricant? The Kevin James hemorrhoidal pillow? The CSI tampons? The Family Law cheese assortment? The Jag painless nose hair trimmer? Patricia Heaton softcore pornography box set.
Oh, God.
Paul Schaefer scrotum balm. And finally, can you tell me, who is Jane Clayson?
Bravo, boys.
Those are the
you
questions.
You cleaned it up a little bit. Yeah. Way to go.
And I will look forward to her going through the list of items. I especially enjoyed the Paul Schaefer scrotum bomb.
Now, the front cover of the new National Enquirer.
There it is.
Arnold's mistress.
Right there.
World exclusive, his shocking 7-year affair. For being Arnold Schwarzenegger, if you're going to bang a chick,
right.
Why would you bang a chick this fuggly?
I have no idea, and that is the great mystery. You would have access to much more beautiful women.
God, look at this. There's all kinds of pictures of them together. It's a big, gigantic horse face.
Right. Yeah. Maybe she was cuter when she was 16 when he met her.
Yeah, well, that's true. Here's another picture of Arnold with her.
Right.
Okay, and I guess
she is a moosey woman.
She's the one who sold the story to the Enquirer. Arnold Schwarzenegger carried on an outrageous 7-year affair with the former child actress that began when she was 16.
Outrageous.
Outrageous, if you please.
Actually, right under the nose of Maria Shriver, whose jaw is looking more and more like Jay Leno's every day.
She gets the horse face. It's the Kennedy women.
One time, Arnold tiptoed into Gigi.
That's her name.
Uh-huh. Gigi. Tiptoed into Gigi's room in the dead of night when he was staying in a hotel at the same time with his wife.
Uh-oh.
She said, you shouldn't be here when your wife's in the hotel. But it was no good. Neither of us could deny our passion.
Of course.
An Enquirer investigation has ripped the lid off the shocking secret of the actor. Insatiable Schwarzenegger used Gigi as a sex object and showed her no respect, openly groping other women in front of her. And in a startling twist, the cocksure actor.
Yes.
I love that. The cocksure actor.
Right, he is.
The cocksure actor introduced Gigi to his wife, Maria, who later cried, cried to Arnold when she felt that he had treated Gigi rudely.
Ah.
So he introduces his wife
to his mistress,
and
disses her in front of Maria, and Maria gives her some sympathy. How ironic is that?
Gigi was once a child actress.
Dan ran also the dining room at the Palm in Los Angeles.
She played roles on Little House on the Prairie,
hey!
The Brady Bunch, Get Smart, Mission Impossible. She was also...
Get Smart. How old is she?
She's 41 now.
41? What would she play on Get Smart?
I don't know.
5-year-old?
She must have.
Child
right.
actress, yeah.
Gigi and Arnold met in 1975 when she was 16. They started chatting.
Hi.
And almost the first thing Arnold said to her was, you have an amazing ass.
He's an ass man.
Yeah.
They went back to the home of one of Arnold's friends for a barbecue. Arnold and I played with the dogs. We had a few drinks. And the next thing I know, we were in the bedroom having sex.
Hey, Arnold.
I'd made love before, but never with anyone like him. Gigi moved to Hawaii, and over the next 14 years, she saw Arnold occasionally.
Why is it funny, this man having an affair? Why is that fact in itself funny?
Because it's Arnold.
Because it's Arnold.
In 1989, they were thrown together again when Arnold opened his first Arnold Fitness Weekend, an annual bodybuilding competition in Columbus, Ohio. Gigi, working for World Gym, was sent there to coordinate her firm's seminar. Arnold had never forgotten Gigi, even though he'd been married to Maria for 3 years. He made a beeline for her in Columbus. In his sexiest accent, he called her Shishi. Let me see. The first night they were there, a group was sitting in the bar drinking and smoking cigars. Arnold played the piano and charmed Gigi by singing Edelweiss. Edelweiss. He leaned over to Gigi and in a whisper asked if she wanted to go to his room for the nightcap.
This is, you know, you're not saying, it's just funny picturing Arnold in this situation.
It was the start of 7 years of secret sexual trysts. Gigi was disappointed that night to discover he didn't want the kind of sex they had enjoyed when she was 16.
Oh, dear.
She told me I gave him a massage, and then we had oral sex. He explained he couldn't have full intercourse. He just wanted to have what he called outer course.
Outer course.
How great is this?
Man, I know.
How great is this?
Got to be true.
Like President Clinton and Monica, oral sex was his way of denying he was cheating. Gigi eagerly returned to the same event the following year, checked into the hotel, but her heart sank as she watched Arnold arrive not only with Maria, but with her parents. Eunice and Sergeant Shriver.
Oh, dear.
Gigi was in the lobby when they walked in, and Arnold boldly introduced her to Maria and the other family members, telling them she works for the gym. Maria shook hands. She was polite and friendly. Inside, Gigi was dying. Later that evening, they met in the bar and smoked cigars. Finally, Maria left, and Arnold whispered, "Go to your room. I'll see you there." Arnie showed up.
No.
And Gigi expressed her concern they shouldn't be meeting when his wife was in the same hotel. But he took me in his arms, and neither of us could deny our passion.
All right.
He stayed with me for an hour, and we had the most amazing sex session.
An hour.
Gotta go.
Then he went back to Maria. Year after year, Arnold and Gigi turned up the heat at the Arnold Fitness Weekend.
Sure.
Gigi brought incense, candles, music, and massage oils just for Arnold. They would set the scene for the sensual massage and the sex that always followed. Let me see. One year, Gigi was asleep in Arnold's bed at the hotel when there was an alarming knock on the door. Fortunately, Arnold was in the bathroom reading a newspaper.
Sure. Oh, no.
He's in there taking a dump.
Who is it, Gigi?
Gigi scrambled to get into her clothes and answered the door. It was one of Arnold's publicists. Gigi said, "I needed all of my acting skills, but somehow I convinced him I just arrived at the room myself." didn't know where Arnold was.
Like the publicist didn't know, because Arnold's so stealth.
In a startling turn of events, Maria not only befriended Gigi.
Oh, no.
On one occasion, she sprang to her defense against Arnold.
Oh, dear.
We were all in the hotel restaurant. Arnold and Maria were having lunch, and I walked over to tell them their car had arrived.
She's a bitch.
Arnold snapped at me rudely. I don't want the driver to come now. Maria's hackles rose. Don't talk to this nice woman that way, she said.
Oh, my God.
And she was so nice, it almost made me wish.
Oh, my God.
She was so nice, it almost made me wish I hadn't had sex with her husband the night before.
Oh, God.
Hold on. When they were apart, Gigi and Arnold enjoyed talking on the phone.
Oh, boy, phone sex.
And during one long-distance conversation, he invited her to Mexico City, where he was making Total Recall. Gigi and her mother paid their way down there. Arnold is notoriously cheap, and he had his driver pick them up and take them to the set. Gigi, her mom, and Arnold had a sushi dinner. Then he called her in the room.
I bet they did.
Called her in the room at midnight and asked her to come up for a nightcap. She gave him a massage and oral sex for 2 hours.
Wow.
Until he made the excuse he had an early call in the movie. The Mexico trip ended in heartache for Gigi. She quickly began to suspect that he was having an affair with his co-star, Rachel Ticketon. One night, Gigi was supposed to have dinner with Arnold, but he canceled. She found out later that he was having a private rehearsal with Rachel instead.
I bet he was.
Boorish behavior was not typical of the hot pants actor, according to Gigi. While working out in gyms, Schwarzenegger made moves on other women right in front of her. Gigi says he was always hitting on women. If he saw a body he liked, he couldn't resist making a comment or grabbing their asses.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm. Gigi got a bombshell dropped on her one day when she was having dinner with a new pal who suddenly said, "I've had sex with someone you've had sex with."
Oh, my God.
Revealed to close friend, the woman told Gigi she'd made love with Arnold in his car.
His Humvee.
Somehow Maria found out. Arnold then got rid of that woman. Gigi finally ended her affair with Arnold 5 years ago after falling in love with another man. 2 years later, when she took her new boyfriend with her to Columbus for the Arnold Fitness Week, Arnold said, "You shouldn't have brought your boyfriend, you idiot." A little while later, he told her he wanted to get together for a nightcap.
Wow.
Gigi said no. Gigi, who is writing a book called Celebrity's Girl, declined to talk any further about Arnold, but she will always hold a special place in her heart action hero.
Right, of course. That's why she's doing this,
the book.
She admits now that Arnold can be cruel and was only interested in her sexually. She has no regrets. Gigi says, "I had a great body and he begged for it. At that moment, I was the one thing he wanted more than anything in the world, and that made me feel powerful."
There it is. You know, very rarely do I applaud those articles.
That's the story.
Pretty well written.
Arnold's mistress, his shocking affair.
Arnold.
There they are on the front page of the Inquirer, and they got Maria's picture in the corner.
Well, that's one side of the story.
And when we come back, now, Rob, you going to be able to hook up the satellite?
Oh, yeah, I was talking to Pete outside.
Okay, we're going to get Pete Johnson to hook up the satellite.
Good.
Exclusively when we come back.
I heard a rumor, Don.
What's the rumor?
Well, it's because it's you and you have these skills that he just wants to clear the air.
All right, well, then listen, no better forum to do it.
Good.
Arnold Schwarzenegger on the show to answer all of the allegations.
Very good.
In the National Enquirer.
Wonderful.
Right after this.
Number one, Arbitron Rated. The Don and Mike Show.
You know something? After watching the mulattoes shake it, I can absolutely understand why Brazil is totally devoted to my favorite body part, the ass.
What they don't know could fill a book. Don and Mike.
Yeah, just walking around the station, somebody gave me the invitation that Jeremy has printed up to the...
There it is.
WNEW party tonight.
Good.
Nice to know that even though he's changed cities, his writing style remains the same.
Yes, indeed.
After working our asses off for the first 3 months of the year, it's time to acknowledge the hard work and blow off some steam.
Super.
Come, therefore, to the staff party.
Yeah, he's toned it down. Have you noticed? Because it's a new location for him. You know, he'll get into the real, like, medieval poetry with his next memo to the staff.
This Tuesday, May 1st, after work, 6 p.m. until
whenever.
Ooh, daring boy.
B.B. King Blues Club, Times Square.
Wow. Well, they got that going for them.
Okay, so we'll see.
I mean, Christ, the party starts at 6.
Uh-huh. Party started.
So, yeah, I mean, all the good stuff will have happened by the time we get there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm wondering if that location is broadcast, if people will be showing up later on.
Well, let them show up. Okay. By the time this broadcast in New York, it'll be 11 o'clock almost.
Well,
and should I read anything to when it says, come to the staff party, it's spelled C-U-M.
Oh, my God.
Huh.
Dirty birdie.
It must be a typo.
Sure.
Robbie, help me with a satellite here. Because joining us now, it's not anything to do with the telephone, right?
No.
Kill the telephone. Kill the telephone. Joining us now, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello. Hi. Hello.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I don't know why I'm so talkative, but I gotta talk and get this off my chest.
Arnold,
I'm so depressed. Don, hi. How you guys doing?
Hi,
there?
Arnold. Hi.
Oh, this is such a pain in the ass. I say to you, Don, I don't know how to handle all the furor that is created with all the stories in the tabloids and all the people, you know, causing all the hubbub and all the goofies coming with the crazies and the stories about my mistress.
Gigi.
Dankeschön.
Now, is it true that, let's just go through this point by point. I was told that you will speak to me honestly. Now, I can't see you. Where are you at in the world? Where am I speaking to you from?
I'm in California. It's my pottery shop where I like to make my pots and work with the big pieces of clay that I mold and glaze. And make the pottery to bring home to look like a good guy. But I'm very, distraught over the stories about Gigi. And Gigi, I'm ready to come clean with you and tell you all the stories about why I liked her. Because there's really a lot to explain, and I said if I'll talk to one guy, Don, about this stuff that's going on with my personal life.
All right, is it true that you started banging Gigi when she was 16?
Yeah, well, the thing is, my favorite body part is the ass.
I know.
Right. I gotta go back to it. Gigi, from a very young age when I met her, had the great ass that she'd come on, different trips than I'd have my Arnold weekends, and she'd say, hey, would you like to F me? And I'd say, yeah, because you got such a great ass. And
you,
I'd squeeze it and massage it.
Did you F her in the no-no?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, many times. I love anal. I dig that. That's good times with that. And so she walks in the hotel lobby and says, to me, she says, you want to do it, Arnold? I got my own room in the suite upstairs.
Right.
And I says, I'll be up there in 2 seconds after I ditch Maria. And we'd go up and we'd have sex for about an hour. And then I'd say, I got to go because I got things to do. But she used to come to all the Arnold Schwarzenegger fitness weekends with that great ass. And she had good jugs. And I can't resist the pair of the good jugs with, the nice ass.
Explain to me this outer course. You told her you can't have intercourse, but you can have outer course.
Yeah, that's true also. First of all, I have to say I accept this responsibility of banging Gigi, or Shishi, as I used to call her, when she'd come to the suites. I am guilty. I've been banging her for years and years with cheating on my wife. I'm guilty, but there's an explanation.
Okay, guilty with it. It's like being a traffic court.
That's true.
Guilty with explanation.
My explanation is if you saw the ass that I saw with Gigi, you'd explain that it's the same thing. She'd come to the Schwarzenegger fitness weekends, and I couldn't keep my paws off her. She was so gorgeous, I would say, Gigi, come to the room.
Now what?
Come up with me, and we'll make all sorts of love.
What about this outer course instead of inner course?
Well, that's when I adopted my new philosophy. After I married Maria, which was basically eating and cheating. But that's not it. We do hours and hours of oral in the room, and then outer course was my joke when I just rub myself up on her outside of her part. That's what I would do.
Wow.
And I'd laugh, and I'd call it outer course, because if you do meet the friction real fast, it sometimes would get scabby, but you do back and forth meet the friction, and that would cause me to release my feed. And it was good.
Did you used to fitty tucker?
Oh yeah, I know what that means. That's when fitty you put the letters in front of the other words.
Right.
Oh, I do that. I'd fitty tucker again and again
did
and again.
Did you ever Did you ever thumb in her case?
Yeah, I know. That's what I, you know.
Yeah
I would
thumb in her case.
I would release.
Yeah, in her
that's
face.
What I'd like to call
She'd
it.
Release in her face.
I'd release in her face. I used to have a good time releasing. That's the whole point of sex. I learned at an early age that, the sex part for the guy is release. And all I would say, is I don't care what you want me to do. I'll help you if you don't mind me releasing. And sometimes I release early, sometimes I release late. After the heart surgery, when they cut me open, I'd take longer to release than before.
Did she collow your sum?
Every time. That was part of the rules. I'd always say, if I'm going to spray, it's necessary for you to get rid of the evidence, and there's only one good place to hide it, and that's in your tummy. So that's what I would say. I'm just telling you the truth, and then I'm a piano player, so one night Gigi was bringing me to release, and I was playing Edelweiss on the play.
While she was bringing
you
to release.
Yeah, I would say, Edelweiss, oh, Gigi, I just released myself. Keep the change. She's so good. I loved oral sex with her. And I'll tell you, she'd bring candles and incense and massage oils, and she'd rub on me, and she'd pleasure me until release.
Yeah.
She's big like me. She's got a big head like I have.
You know, your wife, Maria,
yeah.
While she is starting...
She is so angry.
She's starting to look like Jay Leno.
She's looking very angry in that picture because that was at one of the premieres for the pictures that I did. And she'd be angry because she probably suspected that even though I came to the premieres with her, I wanted to see Gigi's big oversized head and her great ass.
My point is, even though Maria is maybe not as hot as she used to be,
yeah,
this girl's got a horse face, this Gigi that you've been banging.
Well, I got to explain that, too. One time I'm in Mexico making the Total Recall, and Gigi came down and we ate sushi. We ate sushi before and after dinner. You get my drift, okay?
Is that when she brought her mother down?
Yeah, Maria doesn't like that part. So I could get things, meet her, and she would do things. You know, she's the mother of my children, so I can't do that. And then I ate her mom's strudel, too. I used to call her Shishi. I'd say, I was charming, and I'd call her up in the hotel room. I could recreate the conversation.
All right, sure, please do.
I'd call
please
up
do.
The phone, I'd say, Shishi, this is Arnold. Hi, I'm in the hotel room. Yeah, would you like to come to you? Let's go to your house and in your room, and then you can bring me to release. You think you can do that for me? Okay, I'll see you in 20 minutes. You're beautiful. How's your ass? How's your nice firm ass? Does it have the all over tan that you use for the bodybuilding competitions at the Arnold Schwarzenegger weekend? I really like that. I would like you. Rub me until I am exploding. I want you to make me explode my seed. Love you, Shane.
Wow.
I'll be up to your room in just a second. And you can rub me with the candles and the incense building and the big oils to make me release my seed.
How has Maria reacted to the story?
She's not happy. She said, you blew it this time, you big dumb German bodybuilder. You're going to be kicked out of the Kennedy clan, and your legitimacy will be gone, and you won't have any time to have fun with the Kennedys anymore, and your political career is doomed, and because I'm going to just divorce you, and you're going to look like a big stupid putz. And I said, all I wanted to do was release my exploding seed. And she was so upset and angry. I don't care, but it's not good around this. The Schreiber house. Sergeant Schreiber hates me. It's a big S-storm. And no oven again. I'm very upset right now.
I can tell you are.
I tell you, but
if you'll pardon the pun, thank you for coming clean on this show today.
Don't you shine. I want to thank you and your listeners for giving me the opportunities to say my place and my piece, rather, and talk about the things that I do, Don. You always let me purge myself and release, like I would release my exploding seed, and everything is better. I feel like the world's weight is off the shoulders.
Yeah.
And now maybe I can make another picture. I'll tell you right now, everything's fine. I'm going to go home to Big C Shriver. I feel really good, though. Thanks for letting me purge.
Arnold, thank you, as always, for coming on the show. I'm sure as the other tabloids pick up, you'd like to come and comment on those. You're welcome anytime on the show.
Dargishine, I got one question for you.
What's that?
When are you doing Strip TV again?
A couple of weeks, maybe.
Can I come by?
Sure.
Yeah, that's good. Then I could judge, like a big celebrity judge. I'd be
sure.
I could sit in the studio and look at them when they take their pants off.
Yes, you could. Sure.
Oh, that makes me think good things. I'm building up.
Okay, Arnold.
I'm exploding with desire.
I know you are.
I want to spread my seed.
Thank you, Arnold.
Dankeschön.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for God. Bye.
There he goes, everybody.
Wow.
You love him. Arnold Schwarzenegger live from, I believe he was in California.
He was so open and honest. I mean, he came clean on everything.
Shocking.
All the stuff about his seed.
He loves talking about release.
His exploding seed.
Well, you know, man has needs.
We have to break. He's just a man, Mike.
Flesh and bone.
Flesh and bone. We will be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln. The Don and Mike Show.
What if at a key moment in the game, my uniform burst open and, my bosoms come flying out. That might draw a crowd, right?
You think there are men in this country wasting your bosoms?
Next to breast milk, the Don and Mike Show is dead.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, we're on the air.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
Hey, I wanted to thank you and Mike for getting us, me and my wife, Kevin James tickets without you knowing about it.
Really?
We were up at the Tahoe show that got canceled.
Yeah.
And when they took away our wristbands, they tried to give us these cheesy, you know, improv tickets.
Right.
And we told them, you know, no way, you know, not that's not even close to, you know, what the Don and Mike Show would be. And I said, the only thing we'd settle for would be Kevin James tickets. And they gave us, me and my wife and my two friends, four Kevin James tickets, like on the fourth row, dead center.
Now, that's the way you do it.
See, everything comes full circle on this show. Earlier, last hour, we had the guy who teaches the short bus kids,
right?
Who wanted us just to buy him tickets.
Right.
And then this guy, who actually, because of our show being canceled, got tickets to see Kevin James.
Beautiful. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, Don, one other thing.
What?
Since it was at Harrah's, and we were at the Sacramento show, awesome show. That was just awesome. We were on the third row for that. Should I wear my Don and Mike shirt to Harrah's just, you know, to piss them off?
Yes, please do.
Absolutely. They can't do anything to you. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Thank you, my friend.
Okay, thanks, Don.
Now, listen,
bye-bye.
You're very welcome. Before we get to Buzz and News, the WNEW party is underway.
Ah, very good.
At B.B. King's.
Let's find out how much fun they're having. Very exciting stuff tonight, the staff party here in New York.
Oh, sure, the line's busy.
Now, I don't know if you have to dial the area code.
You don't.
I just remember, when you go to B.B. King's, there's always that rumor that B.B. might be there.
Yeah, that's a little more Memphis.
Oh, that was in Memphis when we were all there. Remember that night? Didn't they say that all night long, B.B. King's going to be there?
They say that every night, I'll bet.
Our calling now, we're going to ask for Jeremy Coleman.
Very good.
How this party is going.
Should we say it's an emergency?
I'm sorry. The number you have reached, area code 212.
Right.
9-9
is not...
Okay, here we go.
I misdialed.
All right, we're going to get through this time.
I had to ring off now.
Speaking of Blues Club and Grill, this is Mickey. Could you hold, please?
Mickey, hold on. This is Don and Mike. We're on the air at WNEW. It's an emergency. May we speak to Jeremy Coleman, please?
Jeremy Coleman?
Yes.
Do you know, is he here in the
yes,
party?
Yes, he's there at the WNEW party.
Okay, Jeremy Coleman. Hang
extremely
on.
Urgent.
Okay, I'll go find him right now.
Thanks.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Excellent. Way to go. You're really good at getting that before they throw you on hold.
Yeah. He's the little guy.
He's the little guy dancing on the bar shirtless.
He's the guy you carded. he's the guy with the frosted hair who you carded earlier tonight.
Exactly.
Hello?
Hello, well, what is the nature of the emergency?
We're all having a good time.
Jeremy, emergency call.
What's the emergency? Jeremy, you forgot to tape Frasier tonight.
Has anybody used your head as a battering ram yet?
Hello, welcome to the WNEW staff party. Hello, staff.
Has anybody turned him upside down and put his head in the toilet yet? Has the food fight started yet?
How big is he? I mean, how big is Jeremy in relation? No, how big is Jeremy in relation to this place? I guess my question more would be, how big is this place? Is B.B. King's place gigantic, Jeremy?
I have no idea. I think it's probably, if it's like, hello.
Jeremy's very small.
I am not.
He's a tiny man.
He's very small. So has anybody stuck your head in the toilet yet and turned you upside down?
That is not this kind of party.
Oh. Okay, well, listen, we're wondering, we told the guy to look for you, and we're saying you're a tiny man, and I don't know if it's a big place, and we'd have a hard time finding you. What's happening thus far at the WNEW Let's Make Nice party?
There's a lot of people and a lot of drinking.
Really?
Yeah.
And for the record, what's the goal tonight, the reason for the party?
That would be to have a lot of people with a lot of drinking.
A lot of people and a lot of drinking.
So it really is. There's no agenda. It's just like people work their asses off for 3 months. Let's get together and have a beer or two or three.
All right. And you'll be there when we get there?
Oh, yeah. I'll be upside down in the toilet.
Has Ken been drinking heavily?
Yeah, he's already into the scotch.
Good. Tell him to pace himself a little bit.
Why?
Because we're going to be there shortly.
I'm trying to prepare him for you.
All right, very good.
What's Fez doing?
I haven't seen Fez yet.
Nobody's running around like a feather out their butt?
What about, is Leslie there?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Is Sports Guy there?
Both of them.
Both of them, okay. Wow. All right. Well, we're ready for this, I guess.
Good, you should come on over.
Okay.
We should? Does that mean it's optional?
No.
Okay. And Jeremy, if you're there, who's running the station right now?
Me, from here.
From there?
I'm very good at this.
Wow. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
And how is your Roy Rogers?
My what?
Your drink.
Your Shirley Temple. Are you drinking alcohol tonight?
They took that away from me and poured it on my head.
Did they really?
Yeah, mean people at this station.
Did they really pour a drink on your head?
No.
Oh, no.
No.
Would you be mad if someone did pour a drink on your head, like, let's say, 40 minutes from now?
Why, yes, I would.
You would.
All right, how far is it away?
I hate parties. I think it's a 5-minute walk, but Ken walked too slowly, so it became a 20-minute walk.
Oh, that means we should cab it.
Yeah, we'll cab it.
We'll cab it. We'll cab it.
God, you guys are wusses. Just walk.
We'll cab it and expense it.
Yeah.
Okay, we will. Hey, Jeremy?
Yeah?
Send us a limo.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, hello. No. He's not going to. He's never forgetting it. We'll see you in a little while.
Come on now.
Hey, how long do we have to stay?
How long do you have to stay? You're staying the night, aren't you?
No, how long do we have to stay at the party?
Oh, you mean how long are you required to
stay? Right, exactly.
That, I'll hand you a piece of paper when you get here that will have an assigned amount of time.
Very good. All right. Thank you, Jeremy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There he goes.
But Ken didn't have his FU car? Well, what's his FU car?
What's his FU car? You didn't see Ken's FU car?
No.
You didn't see his car yesterday?
No.
Ken has an FU car of... Ken has the kind of car you would never expect to see Ken in.
You mean the Porsche?
Ken has, yes.
That's not Ken's car. No, it's not. It's Roz's car. Roz got it for her 50th birthday and she never drives it.
Well, Ken drove it to work yesterday.
Okay, it's not Ken's car. It's Roz's car. It's his wife's car.
Well, he was in it.
He's always in it.
Right.
But it's her car.
Well, we just said it's a car that Ken does not belong in.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. That was the point.
Neither one of the Stevenses belong in that car. But I know that the car is... I told you that when Ken bought Roz a Porsche for her 50th birthday.
I know. We all don't vacation with the boss, okay?
I told you that a lot. That's nothing to do with going on vacation and having him there.
Sorry, Charlie. I wasn't in the know like some people who socialize with the boss.
Excuse me. Excuse me. I announced it on the show,
the
didn't
Boxster,
I?
Yes.
A long time ago, yeah.
I forgot.
Okay.
We were just having fun with the boss, you know, having that big fancy car.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi. In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
Bear-bozo.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It's Buzz.
Me.
He made it up.
The lead story that Mike just figured out that car is not Ken's, it's Roz's?
No, that's not the lead story.
Okay, what is the lead story that we have to go to the party tonight?
It should be, but no, that's not it.
Really?
No.
Is the lead story Eric Bickle called in today?
That's newsworthy, but not the lead.
All right, what is it? What's your lead?
Tonight, the latest on the strike that could cripple TV.
Oh, boo, yeah, I don't like hearing about that.
Yeah.
Okay, stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned for news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional.
Number one, Arbitron Radio. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot? What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
How about a bumper?
Here we go.
How about a
bumper? Ladies, let them read your lips. Don and Mike.
Thank you, Tight Makes Right. Time for News with Buzz. Brought to you by Egars.com. Visit Egars.com for great deals on Hoyo de Monterey, Excalibur, and Punch 5-packs. 5 premium cigars. As little as $15.95. Order online or call 877-81-EGARS. And now here's Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike. There's reportedly been progress in the talks that would prevent a TV and movie crippling writer's strike. We don't know what kind of progress because there's a news blackout over the talks. There's also word, though, that the talks will be extended to coincide with the deadline for a probable actor's strike next month.
I'm an actor.
Actor, and I'm on strike. In the meantime, a midnight deadline hovers over the writers' talks. That strike could paralyze TV and movie production in just a matter of days from now.
Big deal.
If these Hollywood labor problems aren't solved by, say, the 1st of August, expect to see a lot of game and reality shows come October instead of a new fall season.
Did you say a lot of gay and reality shows?
Game.
Oh.
And reality shows. Game
We're
shows.
Still thinking, though. We can only hope.
No.
Wouldn't that be great? If in the event that there's a strike, all the gay reruns will be aired. All the gay pilots.
Again, gay shows if the writers go back to work. Here's your Hollywood substance abuse update. West Wing creator Aaron Sorkin's in court today in Burbank, California, being arraigned on what are now felony drug charges. Charges were upgraded yesterday after the DA revealed that Sorkin was carrying pot and crack along with the psychedelic mushrooms.
Hi, this is Surf.
Robert Downey Jr.'s court date yesterday was postponed as expected. What wasn't expected is that prosecutors are now recommending more rehab, not jail. Downey was a prominent part of last night's Ally McBeal, but his name was conspicuously absent from the network ads promoting the show.
You know, this Sorkin dude,
yeah.
It's amazing. It really is. I mean, he is such a brilliant guy.
Brilliant.
The more I'm reading about him, I didn't realize that he was like on the president's council for to keep kids off drugs or something.
And he's a reformed drug user.
He just got some kind of freaking award not too
award.
Long ago.
He offered to give back the award, but they won't accept it. So apparently he gets to keep it.
And I think they had just wrapped up the season on the West Wing,
yeah.
and obviously, you know, why can't you just stay at home and party? Why do you have to go to Vegas and party?
It's amazing, and you know, when you see the award shows, especially the Emmys and the Golden Globes, and you hear the guys' credits, I mean, everybody that was associated with that show, I mean, the brilliant Aaron Sorkin, I mean, I got tired of hearing Aaron Sorkin's name. It's just, it's mind-boggling. It just shows you how fickle it all is. It's amazing.
Maybe that's why he's so brilliant.
He uses it to, I mean, I would imagine also a show like The West Wing, and Buzz and I are fans of that show.
Yes.
the writing on that show is so above anything else that's on network television that I would imagine every week churning that stuff out. It's not like The Sopranos where they make three episodes for a year.
Wasn't Edgar Allan Poe like on Coke or something when he wrote The Raven?
Edgar Allan Poe, now they think William Shakespeare as well.
The drugs.
This pressure, I mean, and we're talking an hour of all that like rapid fire dialogue. You know, he's probably got his gets his rocks out, puts them on the table.
Rock cocaine.
Okay. Rock cocaine.
Shrooms.
Crack and shrooms.
And crack weed.
Crack and shrooms and weed. I've got another episode.
Oh, my. And Shannon Doherty changed her plea from innocent to no contest yesterday when she appeared in court on DUI charges. The Charmed co-star faces 6 months in jail when she's sentenced next month.
Charmed co-star. That's a political statement? Or
no, the Charmed is the name of a show.
Ah, the TV show. I got you. Charmed.
She's on.
Okay.
Right.
Charmed.
Charmed, I'm sure.
The King of Queens is also the king of Monday night as America's love affair with Weakest Link begins to fade.
There it is.
Listen to this.
Okay?
The CBS sitcom with our friend Leah Remini beat the game show last night. Link's ratings were down 16% last night compared to last week. Here in New York, Weakest Link fell to fourth place in its first half hour.
Well, good for Leah.
Way to go, Leah.
Yeah.
They bumped off the juggernaut.
Yeah. It's too bad that we couldn't have been associated with that in some way.
Some way.
We need to get her on the show.
Well, I wanted to call her. I tried to get her on the show a couple of weeks ago when Weakest Link was first coming on to try to get her riled up about it.
Right. It would have been nice to have her and then get her back on when they beat him.
She never returned the call, though.
Very mysterious.
Right.
It's a good gig if you can afford it. The millionaire who's the world's first space tourist says he hopes other people will soon be able to afford rides into space. 60-year-old Dennis Tito paid about $20 million for a ride with the Russians to the International Space Station, where he is now.
I think we should send Tito Jackson.
All
yeah,
the Titos.
All of them. Tito threw up on his ride into space, but his Russian crewmates say he has recovered fairly quickly.
You know, everybody's busting this guy's balls. You know what I think? If the guy's got $20 million or whatever he paid,
I'm right,
and he's done whatever training he wants to do, if he's signed the waiver saying, you know, if my head blows up, I'm not going to sue anybody,
right,
let the guy go into space.
Russians need the money.
Let him go up there. And don't forget about the guy from the O.J. trial, his right. son.
Yes.
Tito Ito.
Tito Ito.
Here's another famous Tito for you.
Right.
As expected, San Francisco has agreed to pay for sex change operations for city workers.
Mm-hmm.
Under the plan, the city would pay up to $50,000 of the $77,000 it can cost.
CBS paid for mine.
Switch genders. That's very nice.
It was wonderful. The whole thing. The whole thing. Even the outpatient stuff.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. I'm really happy. And it's almost completed.
With the mayor's...
It's learned behavior, Mike. It's not something that's genetic. It's learned behavior.
Gee, you wrote that.
With the mayor's...
She's actually not Robin. That's a quote from G. Gordon Liddy.
That's true. With the mayor's signature, San Francisco becomes the only government in the U.S. to offer this kind of health care coverage. Minnesota did it once, but phased it out. Oregon thought about it, but changed its mind. Coverage in San Francisco begins June 1st for employees who've been on the job 1 year or more.
And I'd like to thank CBS for doing this for me. And I'm almost finished. My Tito's are almost ready.
We got a break. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, The Don and Mike Show.
From what I've seen of their records, the only thing they do contribute is mayhem and chaos.
No, I'm chaos and he's mayhem. We're a double act.
Jesus effing Christ, The Don and Mike Show.
Back in New York from WNEW, here is Buzz Gurdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. You mentioned this at the top of the show, but it's worth repeating. In the old Johnny Carson days, it wasn't unusual to see tipsy guests on the Tonight Show couch. Sometimes big stars even appeared on camera holding drinks in their hands.
Hey-ho.
The show was funny. These days, the interviews Jay Leno does on the program are stiff, and Jay's hoping that alcohol will loosen things up.
I think this is brilliant. I said this 4 hours ago. I still think it now.
I think it would be brilliant if they put the open bar behind Jay Leno's desk.
Yeah.
Because Jay Leno is the problem, and you will get the sloppiest, drunkest guests in the world, and Jay Leno will still pump the interviews.
Both Letterman and Leno's staff say that they've always made drinks available for guests to request them specifically, but now, in Leno's case, as Don said earlier, there'll be an open bar right there in the green room.
And fantastic.
Oh, this is Jay Leno. You know, you seem real drunk, but I'm still real manic, and I think maybe I should have a couple of cocktails, you know?
Letterman's show, by the way, is asking for a waiver in the event the writers do go on strike. Both Dave and Jay are members of the Writers Guild, and both say they'll honor the strike with reruns if they must.
Paul, can I have a waiver?
From our ouch department, a judge has cleared Stephen King of plagiarism in his book Desperation. But in making his ruling, the judge said King's novel is, and I quote, not a particularly good read. King was being sued by a professor at Ulster Community College. Desperation was, at one point, on the New York Times bestseller list.
And then the judge found out that he started getting thinner. And his dog attacked him. And somebody, a fan of the judge, stalked him and broke his legs.
Andrea Thompson.
Then a vampire moved into town.
And it all happens in the same town also.
Yes, it does. Castle Rock.
All these stories happen in the same town.
And then the deputy sheriff started killing people.
And then the clown came out of the sewer.
Tommy Knockers.
And then the car came to life.
That's right. Yes,
the judge had a bad week.
Speaking of Tommy Knockers.
See, we can read. Okay? I know we run that tape that says Don and Mike, they hate books. But see, we can read.
We can read.
They just got to be dumb books like Stephen King books.
Stephen King.
Andrea Thompson, who left NYPD Blue and is now headed for CNN, has a great figure and a great temper.
Hey, what's that website, Buzz?
I'm trying to remember. It's called TedsTurnovers.com. TEDS.
Just the one that's got the nude pictures of her?
Right, it has the link. In the meantime, Thompson's being trashed by a website run by recently fired CNN staffers. That's the one Don's going to now. That website includes a link to another website that features nude pictures of the former actress. The angry website also tells a story about her news training at an Albuquerque TV station.
TedsTurnovers.com?
That's correct, yes.
All right, I'm waiting for it to load on the computer now.
Load, baby.
Okay. I saw these pictures earlier today.
Loaded, honey.
They're nothing special.
Loaded, honey.
Come on, honey.
She is statuesque.
Loaded, baby.
Wow, it's taking a long time to load.
She has big, beautiful breasts.
Well, you guys told me that from NYPD Blue, right?
Right.
Yep. Absolutely.
These are artsy, craftsy pictures that you're going to see. Nothing like you'd see in Playboy or Penthouse.
So she's not urinating?
Christ. No.
How do you figure this out?
We'll figure.
Scroll down the page, and there'll be a blue, in that black text there, there'll be a blue link that says something about nude pictures, nude photos.
All right, hold on.
And if you click on it, I think you've passed it.
Okay, let me go back up. Tell me where.
I can't see it from here, but it's going to be a little blue link inside that text.
Blue link inside the text. Oh, there's just to see some boobs.
Okay. I think it's down a little lower.
Oh, you just told me to go up.
Well, you went up too high.
Okay, I'm going down again. Here we go.
See any blue? Well, it's in there somewhere, I think.
It's in there somewhere.
But up
there's her name. Appeared nude.
Told you.
Gotcha.
I even left my microphone to come over here and see.
Gotcha.
Click on that. Okay.
Enter here to search for porn.
No, you don't want the... You're waiting for...
It says... Andrea Thompson, is that her name?
That's her name.
Mom. Okay, now we're waiting for the pictures to load.
All we have are little boxes right now.
She spells her name wacky.
A-N-D-I-R-A?
Hey, before you go in there, why don't we click on Secrets to Getting into a XXX Pay Site Free?
24 amateurs, 600 free pictures, all share one club.
There's Sherry, Bridget, Anna, Lee, Janice, Lola, Tanya, Carla, Christy.
Andrea Thompson's movies include Manhattan Gigolo and A Gun, A Car, A Blonde. She also plays Detective Jill Kirkendall on NYPD.
Right?
Blue.
Go ahead and click on one of those boxes, like maybe the fourth one from the left.
We do this forever.
There you go.
Oh, there she is. Look at those.
They added new ones.
Look at those nipples.
Wow, she's got gigantic nipples.
See, we told you.
Are you kidding me? Are those nipples for real?
Those are hers. Try some of the other pictures.
Okay, hold on a second. Let me go back. Wait a minute. Let me click on another one.
They've added more pictures since this
one. Hold on. Wow, you see full bush. From Manhattan Gigolo.
They've gotten more explicit.
That's what I call credibility.
Let me see. Wait a minute. Hold on.
CNN standing by Thompson. She's expected to appear on headline news starting in late June.
There's that.
Boy, that's fine.
She's got some great teeth. She really does. Wow. Now, there's nothing there. She's kissing too.
No, but there's nothing there.
Come on, where's the next one? This is why Al Gore invented the Internet.
Yes. There we go.
Yeah, but it's a naked guy in that
thing. Andrea Thompson, A Gun, A Car, and A Blonde.
I want to see that.
You didn't see who that guy was. It was Lou Waters.
CNN.
Lou Dobbs. Lou Dobbs. Oh, wow.
Well, that's not all that good.
Well, that's like a picture from a nudist colony.
Yeah. That's not very flattering.
She doesn't look hot there.
No.
Yeah, I think I'll go back to, which one was the good nipple?
The fourth, yeah, that one.
You know what I think? Based on those old photos, black and white, we've had augmentation.
Yeah, she's had a jitty tob.
Yep.
Absolutely she has. And the one we're looking at is from the HBO series Arliss.
Really?
God, that's what it says. I mean, she's got,
yeah.
You remember that videotape we saw that of oddities? Where that girl had Oriental girl had those gigantic nipples that were big like shoelaces.
That's from Arliss. I didn't know they showed that kind of stuff on Arliss.
Wow. I mean, I'm sure it's a quick scene that they just flew right by.
Mm-hmm.
But man, those are some nipples.
Man.
Those are nipple-rific. All right. Buzz, I'm excited about the news tonight.
All right. In June.
I'm really... One more, though, Buzz. We're running late.
Okay. The owner of a nail salon in the San Francisco area will be on probation for the next 4 years after purple sores showed up on the legs of dozens of customers. The sores, boils, really, turned up on more than 100 women who got pedicures at Fancy Nails in Watsonville.
Oh, I'm grossed out already.
The boils were caused by a bacteria that was found in the Whirlpool foot baths used to relax customers and soften their skin.
Oh, that is disgusting.
Hello.
The nail salon's been closed and the owner's license has been suspended.
Oh, man.
I'm not even hearing what you're saying.
No, you're looking at Andrea Thompson.
I'd like a French boil, please.
Look at those nipples.
Yeah.
I'm serious. The nipples like as big as my little finger.
Can I get an I told you so for that?
Yes, okay. Yeah, you told me the boobs were great, but you didn't tell me that they were such high-quality nipples.
I saw her on NYPD Blue, and I don't believe we got a profile shot of those nipples like you're getting on our one.
Wow, fantastic. Well, I'm going to be watching the CNN.
Enjoy. Yeah, it'll be fun.
They're nice. Look at them, like a couple of nice strawberries.
It's a smart move.
Beautiful. 877-365-3636. That's the phone number. Call one. Look at them.
Strawberry.
Look at them. Ah, the strawberry.
Strawberry.
Call now, be the 100th caller. Good luck.
Number one, Arbitron Lady, the Don and Mike Show.
Out of my way, jerk-ass!
They'll talk better if you listen harder. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Buzz, we got to fly now. We got to make some speed now.
In sports, the Minnesota Vikings are talking to Randy Moss about extending his contract. Star receiver wants to top the $56 million deal landed by Tampa Bay's Keyshawn Johnson last year. Dallas Cowboys have signed an XFL player. John Avery led the XFL in rushing with the Chicago Enforcers. He's agreed to a free agent contract worth $389,000.
Okay.
And finally, our dumb guy award of the day goes to New York Post reporter Neil Graves. In this morning's paper, Neil had a big story, complete with picture, about New York's cyber cafes.
I read that in the, what was that, the Post today?
Yes, it was. Front page of the entertainment section, page 45, column 3, third whole paragraph down. That's where you'll see the introduction of a quote from 41-year-old Haywood Jablome.
Let me get the news.
It's right there in the paper. Take a look at this. Haywood Jablome is the person who's quoted in the middle of that article.
No, he's right. If I didn't work a block away, I wouldn't go in. People who want to trade can do it from their laptop or handheld device. Haywood Jablome. Uh-huh. First name Haywood, last name Jablome. Hey, would you blow me?
Good eye, bud.
A Manhattan real estate agent agreed.
Actually, I got a little help on the story, and for the tip on the story, I'd like to thank on Mike Show.
No! I think we got to go. Why? Because we've got a party to get to, Mike.
Yeah, I know you're excited.
A damn fine party.
Yeah.
At the WNDW party. We'll report on that on tomorrow's episode. Plus, tomorrow we'll have Lisa going to the CBS store. And tomorrow we'll finally get off what we call the 1-900 Hot Feet line.
Yeah, baby.
You know, girls who want to J-U-O with their feet. That's tomorrow. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Yeah.
Am I calling 100?
No, I'm sorry you're not. Thank you for your effort, though.
Thanks, bye.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Oops. Hello. Don and Mike, hello?
Am I calling 100?
No, I'm sorry you're not.
Okay.
What happened to all the assertive people at the end of the show? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, come on now.
Don and Mike, hello?
Hi, I'm calling 100.
That's it. There it is.
Thank you. Finally. For the love of Christ, what's your name?
Bill.
Hi, where are you from?
Fairfax, Virginia.
Caller number 100, you won the Sopranos prize pack. Don't miss the Sopranos, Sunday night at 9 on HBO. Soundtrack in stores now. Thank you for listening, my friend.
Thank you.
Thanks again to all the great people at WNEW helped get the show on the air today.
Yeah.
We'll be back tomorrow with another one from New York. Thank you, and good night, Buzz.
Thank you, and good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
And now it's time for you, Rob,
yes,
to throw your hat in the air just like Sydney. Tyler Moore.
You might just make it after all.
Wow.
Wow.
What happened? What'd you do?
You got it in.
Oh, we got it in.
He got it in.
Okay. See you tomorrow.
Come on, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, The Don and Mike Show.